Ladies and gentlemen, the World Wide Web proudly presents... Recorded live in Chicagoland, USA.
Hey, we're doing a show now.
Oh, we are?
A new episode of the podcast, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport. With your hosts, Luke Ski and Carrie Dalby.
Well, what else do we need to do before we start?
An intro of some kind.
Okay. Everything's a song.
I can't sing right now.
And we can't sing right now. This is our show, and now you're listening to it.
Hi, everybody. This is Carrie.
And this is Luke.
This is Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport, episode number 36, March 8th, 2011. It's Fat Tuesday today. And I'm wearing Mardi Gras beads to celebrate, and I had a big dinner to celebrate, or that's what I'm telling myself.
Sarah is going to Sweet Baby Ray's Barbecue to pick herself up some New Orleans-style dinner in honor of Fat Tuesday.
Oh, I wish I had one of those cakes with the baby in it.
I heard about that, yeah. Baby cakes!
What's new in Carrie's life other than MarsCon? Oh yeah, I was gonna do an informal audience poll. In other words, just leave a comment of some kind if you want to, you know, of any kind, if you want to comment on this topic. But the poll is, do I or do I not have a slight lisp? That's right, I said lisp, not lisp. As soon as I said to Josh after listening to my last podcast, I said, do I have a slight lisp? And he immediately said, yeah. Like, you know, duh, common knowledge. And when I brought it up to Luke and Ken, neither of them thought that I have one. So now I'm wondering, as you guys have my voice in your ear holes frequently, what do you think? Do I have a slight lisp?
Well, that's the thing. I associate lisps with... you know, making either that TH or some other sound that isn't a regular kind of old S sound.
Right.
And you do make a proper S sound. Perhaps maybe you...
well, Josh thinks it's like whistly or whatever. I don't know.
Oh, well, I don't think it's whistly. Anyway, what's new in my life? I did characters at a bar mitzvah, and that was neat. It was my first bar mitzvah caricature gig. I have done a bat mitzvah before, but this was different. And it was kind of odd because... you know, I'm not Jewish, and I felt weird because they had me there for, like, 4 hours, which was the entire event. And then there were certain points where they, like, stopped, and they, you know, doing these speeches and doing these prayers and all this traditional stuff. And I'm just like, okay, should I really be here? Because I'm not drawing anybody. Should I just, like, slink over to the side and kind of wait for the reverence part to be over with so that I'm just not some, you know, you know...
Well, I don't think you should have felt uncomfortable.
But there was one other thing. I don't know if something happens.
I have to sit through a religious ceremony like once a week of a religion that I don't participate in.
Well, yeah, but at least you were raised in something similar to it.
Yeah, well, you know, whatever.
And then at one point, like, they had these three guys dressed as rabbis coming in. It was kind of like, you know, the wacky rabbi improv troupe doing a bunch of, you know, old, you know, shtick and stuff, you know, I guess it's the bar mitzvah equivalent of, like, I don't know. I don't want to say hiring a stripper in the dirty sense, but kind of like, oh, here's a singing telegram. Oh, here's a wacky thing that traditionally happens.
Uh-huh.
So it's like these guys came in. It's like, hey, we're doing a show. And they had a bunch of songs and, you know. So it was an interesting, neat experience, and they were all very nice.
I'm kind of jealous. I've never been to a bar mitzvah.
Yeah. And I got this gig through Ed DeBevics because the people who are putting this together know the management at Ed DeBevics, mm-hmm. and they knew that I was there. So they hired me for this gig, and I have another gig in a couple weeks with them. So I'm looking forward to hopefully doing gigs with these people regularly. So
sweet.
That'd be super epic and awesome. Okay, MarsCon, let's get to it.
Sure. we don't have an outline.
We have an outline, but we're throwing it out the window for the most part, and this is going to be another one of those long things. I was hoping not to do it long, but Carrie wanted to do it long,
and that sounds
dirty, and it's not.
I'll jump to the reason why, and then we can jump back and actually talk about MarsCon. But when I was at cons on Sunday night, That would be Khan's Mongolian Barbecue near Bloomington, Minnesota, with the Mars Khan Dementia fans and artists, about 40 of us at least, hanging out and eating. I was sitting with my husband, and Wayne, a.k.a. Wildcard, and Byron Lee. And I think Byron and Wayne might have walked away at this moment. You'll want to be listening to this if you're actually wondering why I want to do it long. Okay. Doing it long. Basically, I was sitting there getting all deep and shit, and I was like, I suddenly realized and I articulated that it's not that we are the sum of our experiences, we are only merely the sum of our memories. So, you know, if we want to, we are only the sum of the memories of our experiences and not the actual experiences. So anything of an experience that we don't remember might as well have not happened, you know. It's like kind of erased almost. So, therefore, you know, I wish to be better at documenting things that have happened that are cool so that I can, you know, more easily reminisce about them because I'm sentimental like that. But, yeah, I was talking about this to Josh, and he looked at me and was like, yeah. I was like, am I getting too deep? Here, tile, okay. And that way we kind of brought the conversation back to the place it should be for a Dementia fan.
Cool.
Even Dementia fans and artists are allowed to get deep, aren't they?
Yes, they're getting deep.
Getting deep.
Deep undercover.
So it's like, you know, anything that we don't document didn't happen, basically.
Okay. So
we can start talking about our travel.
Yeah, Sarah and I drove out on Thursday. We left about 4 p.m., which is about 4 hours later than we wanted to, but still within the window of reasonableness, because we got there at about 10:30 instead of, like, you know, 3 or 4 in the morning.
You got there, I mean, you had said your ETA was 11 p.m. or whatever, and I said ours is similar. Me and Josh flew there, which is the first time I've ever flown to MarsCon. And not only was our arrival similar, but as soon as Josh and I walked in, Sarah and Luke were at the front desk checking in. So we pretty much arrived at the exact same time.
We also pretty much got home at the exact same time because right when you texted me saying I've landed, I'm like, oh, Sarah and I just walked in our house.
Oh.
So.
Well, of course, we had a more rigmarole to actually get into our door, but yeah. So we don't have any reports from the Dementia Fund bus, like, you know, unlike last year where I got to ride it for an hour on the way back. You know, this year I didn't even get in it at all. And in fact, the Dementia Fund bus was a, regular Impala car. This is the first time that, nobody drove. Well, Davros had a van, but, you know, Ken didn't get to be in the van, so. Yeah.
Should we call Ken?
Oh, yes, this would be a good idea. We can have Ken tell us reports from the Dementia Fund bus, so to speak. I can tell you. Let me dial it. I know it by heart.
Okay.
Luke's over here having a problem with his speed dial. Every once in a while, every now and again, ring, hello, let's call Ken. Ding! Is this good? Oh, the speaker of the speaker phone is on the back.
Okay.
Okay.
I didn't tell him we were doing a podcast.
Hello?
Hi, is Ken there?
Yeah, hold on. I'm
going to
get him.
Okay.
This paw is brought to you by...
Mentos, the fresh maker.
No, by Dementos.
Ah. Dementos!
We planned this so well.
Every once in a while.
I'm sorry.
Every now and again.
Hello?
You're on Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
Hi.
And now your wife has been on it too, as long as she's okay with that.
I think she will be. You can imagine, yeah, you actually woke me up. I fell asleep watching TV. I fell asleep.
Sorry. No, we get sleepy, Ken.
Huh?
So we get sleepy, Ken.
It's okay. I need to get up.
So we wanted you to give us a quick recap on the Dementia Fun Bus journey to MarsCon.
Since neither of us were on that journey at all, ever.
Yeah, well, this year was... Unfortunately, due to other people, various people not being able to ride with us, it was a very reduced people. There was only 7 people total, and it was actually split between a van and a rental car.
Yeah.
Which made the cost a lot nicer, but it's a little different. One thing, having 4 people in the car as opposed to having 8 or 9.
Yeah.
Of course, with filling the front seat next to me, it makes it so much easier as far as navigating, keeping everybody entertained. It was a fun ride. I just wish there was more people involved, but there's things that are not necessary.
So, you and Bill in the front seat, who was in the back seat?
Combination of Jared, Perez, Mr. Tuesday, DMZ, Ribbenzy, and some part of it, Byron Lee.
Oh, okay, so... So at times there were 5 people in the vehicle.
No, there was never 5.
Oh.
Well, yeah. Let's say south of Brakeman D's house, it was Byron Lee. North of it was Brakeman D.
Ah.
Yeah.
So, did Bill do any recording for Pot of Destiny?
I believe he might have done a couple things down there. I'm not 100% sure about that. I know what. He was actually not during the trip, but at Red Stops he was recording.
Ah.
But beyond that, we didn't do anything while. And of course, part of the time is also Bill had karaoke tunes, and we were attempting to sing along with them without the lyrics, which made a couple songs difficult.
Yeah.
You don't even realize how little you know of some Weird Al until you try singing without lyrics.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks very much for your input, Ken. We'll let you get back to napping, if that's what you want to do.
Actually, I have something to have to do anyway. I have to go back to work tomorrow, so I got to get ready for that.
Boo. All right, well, I'll talk to you later.
All right, take care of you guys.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
So I guess that brings me to the next topic. While Luke and Sarah were going to the pool hot tub area, me and Bill recorded a Pot of Destiny up in Bill's hotel room with Wildcard, Mr. Tuesday, who else was in the room? Ken came in and out of the room, Josh, and Breakman Z were there, and Luke and Sarah made an appearance, so that was fun. We did some Star Wars Mad Libs, which weren't nearly as funny on the second reading. The first time I read the sexy Star Wars Mad Lib, everyone in the room was basically laughing. So almost everyone in the room was basically laughing so hard that like they could barely breathe. Especially Bill, basically sucked the oxygen out of the room with a sexy Star Wars Mad Lib. That's about the only thing I would say about Thursday night. Unless you have anything else to say, we'll move on.
That was about it. Me and Sarah were able to sneak in past, like, the pool closed at 11, and we managed to schmooze somebody into letting us in to just sit in the hot tub for 15 minutes because our legs and our feet were killing us. We just wanted to decompress a little.
Yeah,
and then Shoebox arrived, and we entered the Musician's Lounge, room 426, spent the night in there, and then after I left there, I never got back down there again for the rest of the weekend.
Wow.
So I have to assume Devo, Ian, and Steve Goody did okay in there on their own. I never heard any complaints or problems, and then the Table 27 folks were storing all of the stuff there. So
hi, Snowshoe.
Snowshoe is here. So yeah, that's pretty much it for Thursday. So what was Friday like for you?
Well, while you were rehearsing or whatever, getting ready for things, me and Josh went off with my mom. We had a meal at Chevy's Fresh Mix, and we went to the Mall of America, which I probably hadn't been to in 2 years, I'm guessing, and we just went to Starbucks, and I got some jewelries and just walked around, and we got some swimsuit stuff, but then we never did make it to the pool all weekend, me and Josh. So that was nice, and I got back to the con, and you guys were rehearsing for opening ceremonies.
Yeah, I spent Friday morning, me and Sarah and Shoebox went to, well, they dropped me off at Kinko's, and they went and got coffee while I got stuff done there, and that was frustrating because, you know, like, some things I was able to get done easily, other things that, where it's like, oh, we have this technology, you just plug in your jump drive here, and it'll print up your PDF files without any problems, blah, blah, blah. Well, they should have, like, made a note of it for people. Oh, keep your files under a certain amount of size, or else the thing is going to stand there and, like, be processing information for so damn long that, you know, you might as well have just gone over to use one of their regular computers and printed it up over there, which is what I ended up having to do for some of the stuff. And then the computer screwed it up, and I had to, like, keep running the same thing through to get it to come out the right way. So in the end, the initial bill came out to be something like $90.
What?
So I had to go back and have them...
90?
Yes, because of all of the color things I was printing. So I had to go back and have them readjust it down to $44, which was the correct amount for all of the color and black and white stuff I was getting printed. So yeah, and so then we got back to the hotel, and I put up my flyers, and then I got down to main stage, and I waited for Earl, so that and tried to like start corralling all the people involved with opening ceremony so we could get some rehearsals done. And I don't know, I'm not sure what I should say about all of that. I guess I should say that the previous year's sketch involved five people. And then we had, I think it was probably just John Allen himself running our sounds.
Yeah.
Because I don't think the sounds were too complex last year. This year we had a little bit more complex sounds, and we had like 10 people involved as various cast members, some of which I didn't really know too well or hadn't met at all.
Yeah.
So it was, and Earl was off doing other things with the movie room or whatever. I'm not sure what else he does besides the movie room that keeps him so busy. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just, you know, the whole having a kid thing. I'm not sure, but it's, you know, it was just kind of weird because he kept telling me like, all right, well, make sure people are practicing, you know, get rehearsing early. And I'm like, I don't know these people. It's, and you're playing the main character. It's kind of hard to rehearse without you.
Yeah.
But we started anyway. And so people could start getting to know their lines, and Kiki was there to run sound. We had 14 sound cues all on a CD back to back. So, you know, we ran through it two, maybe three times. And then we took a break so people could run and get food and then come back. Then we had time for one more quick run-through, which was very stressful because, you know, things weren't going right. I was trying to get my whole costuming pieces done, and
I remember you being a stress ball, which is good. That's the only time all weekend that I saw you like that.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's...
might not have been the only time all weekend you were like that, but it was the only time I saw you like that.
Yeah. It probably was. But, you know, as it tends to happen, opening ceremony started, and we did the sketch, and it went well.
I played Hermione.
Yes, I don't want to give away the jokes, because you can see this on YouTube. If you weren't there and you want to see the full glory, which was the opening ceremony sketch, just go to Kilimanjaro Ken on YouTube, or just do a search for MarsCon 2000... Here's the other thing. There's another MarsCon that exists, unfortunately, and they had a bunch of stuff too. So if you go search for,
and they're even earlier in the year than this one.
So
right?
if you do a search for MarsCon 2011, look for the clips that say they're from Kilimanjaro Ken, and that's the ones that are from our MarsCon. So look for MarsCon 2011 opening ceremony sketch from Kilimanjaro Ken on YouTube. And you'll see it. It came in at just about 17 minutes, which is, you know, about with our, within our window of what we do. We usually do 15 to 20 minutes, depending on what's up. So,
and Luke played three or four different characters.
Yeah, that was the difficult part for me. Was we had the two main characters were played by Earl and I just spaced on his name, Kevin.
I don't know. I didn't know the guy.
Kevin. I'm pretty sure it's Kevin. He was dressed up as the fifth Doctor from Doctor Who. Earl was dressed up as Skeletor, and those two were the main characters. And then there were other characters that all seemed to revolve around magic in various ways, because that was the theme of the convention.
Yep.
So I had to keep running on stage and running off stage, switching costumes, running on stage and running off stage. I technically had four different costumes for a 17-minute performance.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was tricky, but I think it went well. Me and Earl got lots of compliments after the show, like people, you know, separately, you know, telling us just, you know, oh, you guys do such a great job every year. It's always so funny. So
yeah,
it made me very happy to know that all the effort.
Well, like Holly kept saying, you know, they eat it up. They're eating out of your hand every single year.
Yeah,
and she's like, you could just go out and on stage and take a big steaming dump, and they would love it.
Holly, by the way, is Earl's wife, and she played a part in the sketch as well. and I don't know, Holly's so perky and happy and stuff, and like, you know, it's kind of like when she said that, I'm like, okay, yeah, I should just calm down and not be so stressed.
Yeah.
So thank you, Holly, and thank you, Earl, and stuff. Earl has already given me. Earl already has at least one idea for what we could do next year. It would be something very different from what we've done before. But I think it has potential. But anyway, I don't want to give anything else besides that.
So after that, we had dinner break, and we all went to the hotel restaurant where I had, you know, spent a bunch of time on the phone organizing this big thing where they wanted to give us a limited menu because, you know, for that many people, that's the only way to, you know, give us good service and blah-zitty-blah. And, like, I did this big poll prior to the con so that, you know, I could get everything in order. I have multiple phone calls. Show up. They act like really surprised to see us. You know, they did have the back area saved for us, however, but they still were, like, they still just seemed surprised to see us. And then they handed us regular menus with all of the items on it. So after all the trouble I went through to make sure we had a limited menu that would be pleasing to as many people as possible, then they just handed us the regular menu.
Okay. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, you're the restaurant in the hotel and you didn't realize MarsCon was this weekend.
No. They just seemed surprised to see that big of a group of people just show up. But we didn't just show up. We had reservations. Yeah. Plus, I talked to this guy multiple times.
Plus, Sarah had set it up the year before, yeah, you know, so it's not like this was something brand new.
I mean,
so
it wasn't a complete and total shock, but I mean, I don't know. But then, you know, they gave us all separate checks and everything was fine. We had plenty of time. That was actually prior to opening ceremonies. I'm getting the chronology wrong. So we did that, then opening ceremonies happened, and then some concerts happened at some point.
Yeah, Possible Oscar kicked off. They did an excellent show.
We really enjoyed their full band configuration.
Yes. And we definitely had a pretty darn full room for their performance.
Yeah, they get the local people coming in just to see them. And I think I officially met Shane from The Scope. Well, kind of, anyways. I was like, hey, you're on The Scope. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, I listened to your show. And he's like, okay. And that was about how that went. So I don't think he knew who I was. But there was some internet song medley that Possible Oscar did towards the end of their set, one of which was a song that I didn't know what it was, but it was, like, specifically for Shane, and so looking over at Shane's, like, gigantic grin, like, made it worth it, whatever it was. and then there was a double rainbow rock song and something else. And so that had rock, that contained rock,
yes,
which was for the win.
Yeah, and then I did my show, which I felt went okay.
It went pretty well. You just You had to get warmed up to your audience and not do the thing where you're trying not to look at them and ignoring the thing where you try to go on autopilot just to get through it rather than like really busting it. So like you did that for like a minute or two, and then you really got into it.
Okay.
I'm like, Luke, these are your people. Be a star now. So you did, and you did your new song debut, which we'll be playing momentarily.
Yeah. And Stephanie was in the audience for the possible Oscar show. She texted me during the show because she works as a union stagehand, and her specialty is lighting. So she had texted me during the possible Oscar show saying something to the effect of, Jared is standing in center stage, but there are no lights focused on that. He's in the dark while John and Nathan are in the light. So when you perform, don't stand where Jared is standing.
I mean, you never told me that.
Yeah, so...
Not that I was on the main stage that much this year.
So basically... You know, when I got that note, that's why, I don't know if you noticed this, when I was performing, I'd kind of be on, you know, stage right center and performing, and then when I decided I would just kind of walk over to stage left center and, like, be, you know, sing at the crowd over there, and then go back to stage right center. I never stopped right in the center because I knew I'd be in the dark.
I didn't specifically notice it, but now that you mention it, yeah.
But I did a Fanboy 2010 edition because it's a popular song, and I was glad to bring it back to MarsCon. And then I did the song Fandom Dazzle, and doing those.
Which I was surprised you didn't want me for.
I mentioned it to you.
I think you mentioned it a while ago, but then like the actual day of, I'm like, what do you need me for? And you're like, this and this, and I'm like, oh, okay. And then that was another thing I didn't know about that day.
Well, anyway, doing Fanboy allowed me to plug The Greatest Hits Volume 1 and 2, or Volume 1, 2 CD set, rather. Doing Fandom Dazzle allowed me to plug What a Ripoff Volume 2, and the next song after that was It's Good to Be the King, which was when I did my little poll of what should I perform, that one got the most votes.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome to have all the guys there with you.
Yep. and just because, once again, no rehearsal, we're just faking this shit as we do it. At the end, when it's the whole, you know, French Mistake part and people are screwing up, Insane Ian and Devo Spice fell down and collided into each other as a joke on stage, but then Devo actually, like, apparently skinned his knee and was, like, bleeding from that injury.
I didn't realize till later that he had actually injured himself.
Yeah. So that was pretty funny. Injuries are funny. And then there's the new song. And should we just edit that in here?
Haha, bleeding. Yeah.
All right. So time for a song break. Here is the new song I world premiered at MarsCon during my concert right now.
Hey, Maestro. How's about a little tune to liven up the evening? That's what I like about you, Chuck. You really know how to throw a party.
St. Paul, come home about Snoopy the dog snoozing the top of my dog house. I may play a joke cool, but I know my place as a world famous World War I flying ace. 'Twas a dark and stormy night when I grabbed my ammo, face a cursed red baron in my sop with camel. I'm living my life as I wish, and I do a happy dance when there's food in my dish. If Woodstock is ever under attack, I'll smack the cat next door because I got my birdies back.
Yeah, the king of four panel strips, we rule United Features Syndicate.
What's my supper loving name?
It's
the round-headed kid, sigh and a frown on the pitcher's mound. Good old Charlie Brown gonna win the baseball game is his big belief. A line drive through his clothes off again. Peppermint Patty calls him Chuck and thinks he's fine, but it's the little red-haired girl who gets his Valentine. Lucy's a thug, watch her lie like a rug. Pull the football away, flies and lands with a no shock. He's a blockhead who always gets mocked. Christmas gets him down on Halloween, he got a rock. After losing yet another to the kite-eating tree, he said,
"Why's everybody always picking on me?"
Believes the great pumpkin's in the air. The Blake atoning thumb sucker just don't care. Yeah. Sally's sweet baboo won't face the truth. Need some help from the nickel psychiatry booth. Lucy's temper is huge. Begrudge a fuss budget who dislikes my pooch. Smooch. Thanks to Schroeder, she's betrothed, but he just ignores a play in Beethoven. Steppin' with Peppermint Patty. A tomboy with Marcy doting on her.
Don't call me sir.
But forget all them, cause there's no equal to me, the street beagle. What's my Charles Shelton name? It's just Pigpen. Let's go meet up with Franklin at Knott's Berry Farm. Only 10 miles from the LBC. Thanks for everything, Sparky. We miss you. Peace.
Blanche, I oughta slug you.
So yeah, that song is titled Snoopy the Dog, spelled with two G's, and the story behind that song is that when I, back during the You Pick Luke's Fump episodes, you know, way back when, half a year ago,
is that all it was?
Something like that. It was middle of last summer.
Okay.
I don't know. Anyway, I started going through all those lists of old, you know, song idea lists through my notebooks, and in the first list of ideas I found from back in about 1993 or so, I saw this idea written down: Snoopy the Dog, a parody of "Who Am I? What's My Name?" by Snoop Doggy Dogg, his first big solo song. And I remember back then writing down that idea and thinking to myself, "Oh well, that's a great idea, but Weird Al's going to do this. You know, somebody else more famous than me, you know, because I was zero famous at all back then."
Yeah.
You know, I doubt you can, you know, I still don't consider myself famous, but somebody's going to do this song idea, so I probably shouldn't even bother with it, because, you know, it's
you
so obvious.
Thought maybe Weird Al would do it.
Yeah. So yeah. It's like, you know, and with the whole, you know, anyway, so I just kind of left that idea in the past and didn't really, I know I had occasionally came across it once in a while and thought like, eh, you know, and didn't give it much thought. But after the U-Pick, during the U-Pick Luke's Fump thing, I saw that idea. I'm like, wow, nobody ever did that idea. Maybe I should do that idea. And I intentionally left it out of the U-Pick Luke's Fump thing because I kind of already knew that that seemed like something I wanted to do. So I didn't want to leave it up to other people to decide whether or not that song was going to get done. I'm right. Like, I'll just keep this on my list and see what happens. And then after the success of It's Good to Be the King, it made me realize, wait, some of these old ideas might churn out really good songs. So that definitely clinched it. Like, I definitely got to try to do this song for the next album. And initially, I wasn't going to make this the song I was going to do at MarsCon. It just ended up working out for the best that way with the available talent and time and resources and blah, blah, blah. It's, you know, Jared Ringgold said, oh, I have a week off. I'm working on finishing up the the possible Oscar EP, so I might be able to work in doing a song for you.
And
I'm
like, then he got snowed in, right?
Yeah, and then he got snowed in. It's like, so I'm like, oh, if you can get it done in, you know, 10 days, that'll be fine. And then like a day or two later, he's like, oh, I got snowed in, so I did your song. Here it is. It's like, fucking cool. Shit, yeah. Now I gotta write it.
Yeah.
So yeah. Anyway,
I showed up at my house having... Not yet written it, or had you written
it? I had written it, but it was still literally written on the like, lyric sheets. Yeah. I hadn't even typed it up yet.
Handwritten, yeah.
So...
And then you got Insane Ian on it.
We got Insane Ian and his wife, the Stacy, playing Peppermint Patty for that one line. And then Chris Mezzalusta with his awesome, the dog kind of stuff. And then because it got so close to MarsCon, I wanted to make sure I had a really good mix, so I asked Bob Emmett if he'd let me pay him to mix down the song, and he did.
My money?
Yeah, so he did a great job on it. I'm really happy with it. The initial reaction it's gotten at the FUMP today so far, it's already gotten like at least 9 comments.
Yeah,
from
I haven't had a chance to comment because I've been like here and stuff. But yeah. I really like the. You know,
let's just take this moment to say, and we'll remind people again later, go to the FUMP and leave comments, not only for Snoopy the Dog, but also for Cook Up a Little Bit of Love by Flat29.
Yeah.
Since that posted last Friday, everyone left for MarsCon and nobody was around to make comments. So it's only got like 5 or 6 comments at the moment. So please go comment for that.
You can even comment on Jabba Jive, which is probably still on the main page.
Yes, it is. And by the way, have you listened to the newest Dr. Demento yet?
Yes, I have.
And I haven't. Were you pleased with what you heard?
I was pleased. He didn't mention you, however. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I just want, as long as you're pleased, I'm happy.
I am pleased.
Okay.
In the future, though, no spoilers.
Okay, well, I didn't know that's the way you wanted it, but...
Yeah, I enjoy it more that way.
Okay. That's the way it used to be back in Kansas City for me, because I had no internet and no access to the list. It was just like, will I be on this week? Anyway.
So, back to MarsCon.
Back to my show. Performing Snoopy the Dog. I had lyric sheets on my new music stand, and I fucked up some of the lyrics, and that really bums me out, but that's okay.
Well, I didn't notice or
I just kind of stumbled on a few things, and... Carrie was on stage singing chorus vocals with me, and Ian was there being my wingman as Woodstock. Get it? Wingman?
Oh, Woodstock is
humor.
And you had a Charlie Brown doll that you used in the performance and a Snoopy doll that you didn't use.
Well, the thing is, I'm singing as Snoopy.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like for me to hold up Snoopy as Snoopy, and I don't know. I wasn't giving it an intense amount of thought. I just kind of thought, like, oh, I'm singing about Charlie Brown. I should grab that. But I'm glad that I have the two dolls now.
Yeah.
I know there's a Woodstock one like that out there somewhere.
I gotta do the Snoopy at Walgreens.
Yep. Thank you for the Snoopy. That makes me happy. And then I, after that song, I did, one more thing. My best friend Steph was in the audience during my show, and even though she's my best friend, she really doesn't make an effort to listen to my new songs when I post them at the FUMP, and this is primarily because on those rare occasions she does see me perform, she actually gets to experience the songs for the first time with me performing them live on stage.
Yeah.
So she gets her extra, like, humor factor out of it. So, you know, and nobody had heard Snoopy the Dog before, but when I got into the second, Snoopy the Dog, my eyes happened to fall right on Stephanie, and she was just had this look of, like, like total...
Oh, yeah.
If she was drinking something, it was like she was trying not to spit out her drink.
Yeah, actually, when that song started... I think, it was when that song started, my eyes fell right on Eric Coleman's fiance, Lizzie.
Yeah.
And, like, she was just like, oh, you know, just like this, like, look of shock and horror, yet amusement or something. It was funny.
Yeah, and then I closed with It's a Fanboy Christmas 3.
And yes, you sang that note right.
Yay!
I never did tell you that.
Yeah, so a quick side thing, and this is something you can go back and listen to, and... By the time I put out my next album, I probably will have corrected it. But there's a part of the Up on the Rooftop parody about Chuck where the original version of the music... Okay, the music template I gave to Bob was wrong. Like, freaking Gene Autry or something did a jacked-up version.
It was different chords than what you would expect to hear for that song.
And additionally, I'm used to hearing that song sung by tons of little kids who are singing it an octave or two up. So it's like, oh, ho, ho, who wouldn't go? So between those two factors, you know, I couldn't figure out how to sing it right
and
for those two lines.
And actually, you paid an extra $20 to have Bob, just to have Bob fix that chord.
Yeah.
And I was the one who sat here and figured out exactly what the chords should be, which means I had to figure out exactly what key it was in to begin with,
so,
and emailed him so that he could change it correctly.
So Carrie helped Bob get the music the way it should have been, you know, after Gene Autry fucked it up. But, you know, by that point, I had spent so much time being frustrated trying to figure out how to record it that I couldn't get myself to sing what should have been sung.
Yeah.
So the version I recorded and put on the Fump isn't right. I don't think it's bad or, you know, impossible to listen to. It's just not it's incorrect. So
And I continue to nag Luke about this
to the point of pissing me off. So I'm like, all right, and I happen to have like my Zen player on me, and I'm like, all right, let's sit down and figure out this shit right now.
Because I mean, there's plenty of other wrong notes that you've done, but I think that one just bugged me because like we went through all the trouble to pay, you know, and the extra money to get the chords right and on the instrumental, but then your vocals weren't right.
So we just sat in the hallway and practiced it.
So whose concert was after yours?
Worm Quartet, the music guest of honor.
Oh, yeah.
Remember him?
That was pretty awesome. Josh was like, I gotta go to the bathroom. And I'm like, no, you have to sit here because the best part is the intro. He's gonna do a really funny intro. And I thought it was hilarious. He always does it, last year at MarsCon 2010. He always does it in this funny voice.
Yeah.
He does this like
kind of like
with
a
dramatic music in the background, like the violin music. You know, it's like
very akin to a action movie trailer.
Yeah. So you know, I had to pee too, but I'm like, I have to make sure I'm here for this beginning of this concert. And he's like, After attending MarsCon and performing it since 2004, Worm Quartet has been waiting for the day when the economy would be so much in the shithole that they would not be able to afford a real music guest of honor. Finally, that day has come. And I was laughing my ass off.
Well, yeah, because that's pretty much based on the truth.
I know. Because truth is funny.
Yes.
He did that, like his usual kind of pre-recorded intro. And then he came out in a full brown three-piece suit with his hair in a ponytail and tra-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la, tra-la-la-la-la. He did Trololo.
Yeah, he was lip-syncing it.
Yeah, I know, but he did actually in his first song actually sing it a little bit.
Oh, okay.
In his in the middle of the first song. So that was pretty epic.
He did a great show. I'm very happy that he did. The Ballad of Dr. Stop.
Yeah.
Which is what he premiered last year. And I think he had screwed up some of the lyrics and stuff.
Yeah.
But you know, of course, he was right on for this year.
Yeah. And the hoping that this would manipulate him into having a new album didn't seem to work. But I'm sure he'll have one eventually.
Yeah, he's kind of vowed to have a new album before the end of the year. So
yeah.
Maybe at PenguinCon, maybe at Con on the Cob.
Yeah. But it was pretty awesome and epic. And actually, since at one point during Friday night's dinner, Bill had been going around the table and having everybody state their favorite con memory, and I couldn't really think of that many like super specific things other than being in front of 5,000 people at Dragon Con and Comic Con. But actually, I kind of created one of my favorite memories during Shoebox's song. Great idea for a song, which was the number one song on Dr. Demento in 2004?
I think so.
And,
yeah.
So, you know, he started the song, and I finally I'm like, okay, I've heard the song a billion times. This is my opportunity to get up and pee. So, you know, I went to the bathroom really quick, got back. The song was still happening. So it starts with me in the hallway singing with Breakman Z. This story would work better if we'd already played the song at this point in the podcast.
But, do you want us to pause and throw it in here?
Well, how about I come back to the actual story? So I'll do this. I'll do the story after we play the song. So there's a story. Insert story here. So after Shoebox, that was the last concert of the night, right? And then.
Yep. And then Friday night was just, you know, parties.
Yeah,
parties.
Hanging out at room parties.
I stayed up till, I think, 2.
Yeah, I kind of hit the sack early-ish, around like, it was about 12:30 when I went to get ready for bed. But I knew, you know, the hardcore partying was going to be on Saturday night, so I wanted to make sure I was all rested up for that. And it was nice. Me and Josh got a decent amount of good sleep in that hotel room.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. I actually ran the MST11 and Harvey Putter DVDs ran them up to the movie room so that they had them so that if I wanted to sleep in a little bit, I could. And then my body woke itself up at like, 8:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Or something.
Hasn't it been doing that to you a lot lately?
Well, yeah. That's because my body knows when it's pre-MarsCon/MarsCon time. So, I took a shower. I got myself all, shaved and looking nice. And the cool thing was with Jared Perez so quickly firing all those videos onto YouTube, I actually watched on YouTube on my Droid X phone the opening ceremony sketch while I was shaving, so I could see how it all turned out.
I was watching the Dementia Smackdown yesterday and Sunday.
So I'm like, all right, fuck it. I guess I'll go watch Mystery Special Theater 11. You know, Fantastic Four. Just be there for the beginning of it. And man, I forgot how
horrible that movie is.
It's for me, it was less about how horrible the movie is and more about how long those sketches are.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to shit on their work, because
some long sketches. That's all you need to say.
Yeah. It's not that they're not funny, it's that they need to be tightened up. You know, they need to be like wrenched down to their funniest components and done in a quicker pace.
Or it would have been nice if they had been, but they have not been.
Yeah, it's like, anyway, so I kind of felt awkward and embarrassed sitting there through these sketches. It's like, you know, I think I actually said, like, I didn't write these to the folks watching in the room. But we had a pretty decent crowd for most of that time.
By the time I got there, most of them were gone.
Yeah, TV's Kyle was in there watching with Lindsay for a while, and there was a bunch of people there, but I think they all kind of lost interest after.
Yeah.
Sometime around Magical Trevor, they all just...
Well, I walked in before Magical Trevor, but...
So we got through that, did a little Q&A there, and then I started showing Harvey Putter. And come to think of it, I left the DVDs there, so I'm going to have to email Earl and make sure he gets those DVDs back to me. But, you know, sticking around for the first few minutes of Harvey Putter, the folks there seem to be enjoying it, so I hope that gets them some DVD sales.
And then we went and rehearsed for Dementia Smackdown and Bus Concert and making art project-y props and stuff.
Yeah. I didn't realize that Holly and Angie were going to be belly dancing with the belly dance troupe. I thought it was going to be all the other women who usually do it.
I didn't realize that they did until just now.
Yeah. So I don't think they necessarily did any Dementia belly dancing like they do at Convergence, but I kind of felt bummed out because I went downstairs and, you know, they were in their outfits and they were heading back. I'm like, oh, I'm sorry, I missed your show. And Angie did like, stabity or whatever. So
I'm sure it's fine.
but we did rehearsing, which I think ended up paying off for the final product.
Yeah. Rehearsing is always a good idea.
Yeah, that's something I rarely ever have the time to do.
It's always a good idea.
Despite writing it down on my whiteboard in capital letters with exclamation points, it never seems to happen.
Yeah, I actually see it on your whiteboard as one of the few things that didn't get crossed off.
Yeah.
So,
Tuesday, we had Toy Boat kick it off.
Tuesday.
Saturday.
If by Tuesday you mean Saturday.
Tuesday is the second day of the week, and Saturday was the second day of the con. That's why I said Tuesday.
Of course.
It's logical. Saturday at 2 p.m. No, 2. That's what it was, because it was 2 p.m. That's why I said Tuesday.
Uh-huh. You're not going to backtrack your way out of this.
So, Saturday, 2 p.m., Toy Boat kicks it off. They did an awesome show.
Yeah, it's always interesting when you see, especially, you see everyone up there, but, I mean, Mike Nixon is, like, the... He's both the band's secret weapon that, like, makes them as awesome as they are. And he's also, you know, he used to just be a Dementia fan, and nobody even had any clue that he even played guitar or could sing or anything. He was just at stuff all the time as a spectator. And
plus, he didn't have to do this. He volunteered time at Table 27 on Friday and Sunday.
Yeah.
You know, even though he already had his own badge as a member of Toy Boat.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so, Mike Nixon is still a Dementia super fan, but now he's also a Dementia artist. And, I always like talking to Mike Nixon. Mike Nixon's good people. So, of course, there was Eric Coleman also, and the other guys whose names I have failed to memorize.
Gundo, Raven, and Jason?
Oh, yeah. Raven. I think he might have been at my 30th birthday party. And, unless there's another guy named Raven.
Well, Raven is his nickname. I don't think it's his... I'm pretty sure it's not his real name.
Well, there was a guy at my birthday party whose actual name was Raven.
Oh, okay.
And it looked pretty similar to that guy, so it's probably the same guy. I don't know. Who knows? He also seemed to know me and said, "Hi, Carrie, and do you remember me?" and all this stuff. So, pretty good chance it's the same guy. Anyways, who was after Toy Boat?
It would be TV's Kyle, who did an awesome show.
Yeah, that was
I'm so happy we finally got him out here.
We finally got to meet him. He's got, you know, the gigantic mutton chops that, you know, cover most of his face. And the glasses and the orange and green clothing and the funny songs of funniness. And
he had Art Austin accompanying him on guitar.
Yep.
And it's also his second live performance as TV's Kyle ever.
Yeah, which is surprising because he's very comfortable on stage and good at being entertaining. And it's
weird, and I'm not saying this to imply in any way that Art Austin is not in and of himself a funny person, but Art Austin made such a great straight man to Kyle. It was so great, because Kyle would just kind of be crazy and, like, go to Austin for the reaction, and Austin would mainly just stand there.
Yeah.
Which was just great.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, there are certain moments... one of the defining moments of MarsCon 2011... would be when TV's Kyle mentioned Insane Ian on stage in the context of Ian having helped him with something and you know, just giving him a shout out and thanking him. Ian in the audience then responds in some way just to be like, "Oh, you're welcome," or he said something back.
Said something silly, probably.
To which Kyle responded, "Shut up, Ian!" and then kind of quickly went, I mean, "Shut up, Ian." And then, like, went on with his show. And that spontaneous, inexplicable thing just made me laugh my ass off. I just lost it. I love that kind of bizarre... It's almost like the previous year when Ian was trying to get set up on stage and Austin was setting up things, and Ian said to Austin, "You don't know how to set up an app." Neat.
Yeah.
It's like, and me and Shoebox just lost it. Just because it was such a bizarre moment, you know, out of time and
yeah,
space.
Even if you hadn't brought that up since then, I would probably remember that just because it was so funny.
So basically, that led to that was kind of the catchphrase of the weekend was telling, it's just like, shut up, Ian.
It was one of the catchphrases.
It was, yeah, so telling Ian to shut up. Oh, and we haven't mentioned yet that Power Salad was supposed to be there, Chris Mazzalesta, but due to financial unfortunateness, he was not able to make it out. In his absence, many people were shouting Tile,
yeah.
But when TV's Kyle would get on stage, people were shouting Kyle! And I have no idea if Kyle was annoyed by this.
I doubt it. He doesn't seem like he gets annoyed by much.
Yeah. But Kyle,
I mean, don't really know him, but
Kyle did an excellent show. I am really, really happy he was there. I really, really hope he wants to come back in future years because I'd certainly love to have him back performing again.
Yeah.
So there we go. TV's Kyle. Awesomeness. After that was Steve Goody?
Probably.
I think so. Yeah, Steve Goody was next.
Yeah, Steve Goody was quite amusing.
and when he did his intro to his BP song, Blackwater BP version, he started talking like, oh, and Luke, we have a good new sponsor for this year's. And like he was so deadpan in his delivery.
I could tell that you thought he was serious. I knew he wasn't. I knew it was a joke from the whole time. I'm like, oh, shit, Luke's going to take something seriously. Oh, no.
Well, fortunately, the way he did it, it was like, it was diffused almost immediately.
Yeah.
You know, because it was like, what? Like, oh, okay, it's just a setup.
Yeah.
All right, fine.
And he put his BP hard hat on.
Yep. But yeah, Steve did an awesome show. The show contained a live performance of Avada Kedavra featuring Nuclear Bubble Wrap.
Yes.
And an actual person dressed up as Voldemort on stage.
Yes.
So.
That was awesome.
That was pretty darn epic.
Wait, when was Nuclear Bubble Wrap's show?
That was after. That was
oh,
the
that
next
was
one.
Right afterwards?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So, after Steve Goody, or so I'm told.
Nuclear Bubble Wrap. We had the half-hour break in there to allow enough time for Nuclear Bubble Wrap to set up all their band equipment. And those fracking balloons! I think I kind of have to tell them no balloons
from
now
on. I like the balloons.
Okay.
I'll help clean them up.
Do you want to have the people from the masquerade complaining to you about how the room is messy? Because I certainly didn't see anybody, if anybody from the band, none of the Nuclear Bubble Wrap fans or Dementia people bothered to stick around to help clean up the fucking balloons after Saturday was over.
Sarah helped.
Well,
I don't know.
It got to a point where John Allen just told me, like, look, don't worry about it. And, you know, I left the room after having cleared out some amount of the balloons.
Yeah.
But it's just like, seriously, guys, well, it makes my life more difficult for those fucking balloons to be there.
Well, let's just, if they have them next year, let's just make sure that, you know, as a group, we all help clean them up. Because if everybody grabs two balloons on their way out, then there's no balloons, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, so, it's not that difficult.
Anyway, my griping aside about the balloons, they did a great show. They rocked it.
They're probably my favorite band moment of the convention.
And it's weird. It's like it's like this rotating thing. We always have three Nuclear Bubble Wrappers there, but it's never the same three. Because last year Kyle didn't come, and this year Eric didn't come.
Yeah.
So. Maybe someday we'll have all four, I don't know.
But a funny thing with Nuclear Bubble Wrap that actually started during TV's Kyle's performance was TV's Kyle had made all of these like signs and drawings for his song, something about high school sucks.
High school makes everybody uncomfortable.
High school makes everybody uncomfortable. And several of the signs had the word hey, H-E-Y, exclamation point, and one of them also said H-A-Y, exclamation point. And Brandon, it's Brandon, not Brendan, right?
Brandon.
Brandon of Nuclear Bubble Wrap was the one who was holding the cards, although, you know, he could have done it in a more concise manner rather than picking them up off the floor one by one. But whenever the word hey came up, you know, the audience would shout hey even though they weren't actually supposed to. That wasn't actually what the sign was for. The sign wasn't to get the audience to shout hey, but And then afterwards, TV's Kyle was like, things that I have learned at MarsCon. If you hold up a sign that says, hey, people will say hey. And then Brennan jumps out with, like, you know, the energy of, like, 20 guys at once. And he's, like, holding the sign out, hey! You know, and it's like, yeah. He, you know. And then he continued to do this for the rest of Saturday, where he's just jumping up,
rest
holding.
Rest of the weekend, pretty much.
Well, with the sign, it was, like, the rest of Saturday. But, like, the rest of the weekend was everybody shouting hey at Brandon, or Brandon getting people to shout.
Actually,
hey.
I think it's Brendan.
Is it Brendan?
In nuclear bubble wrap, and then Brandon is in.
Oh, my brain is confused.
Is in soggy potato chips.
Okay,
so, Brendan Shearus.
Yeah.
So.
So yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Another moment, and let me just jump back in time to Friday. At the end of Shoebox's concert, he had Possible Oscar come out and do a few songs with him.
Right.
So it was Worm Quartet with live backing from Possible Oscar,
yeah,
and Rob Balder joined them for USFNA. So I was watching that. I'm like, it's Possible Oscar, Worm Quartet, and Rob Balder performing simultaneously.
Yeah,
how awesome is that? So then jump to Saturday afternoon, and for draining
the lizard on a dead gay wizard.
We had Nuclear Bubble Wrap, Steve Goody, Odd Austin, TV's Kyle, and Worm Quartet all performing the same song on stage simultaneously. I'm like, this is fucking awesome!
Yeah.
This is what MarsCon is all about! God damn it!
Yeah.
Woo! You know. So that made me happy. It's like, that's another thing, this doesn't really go anywhere chronologically too much. But due to things going so smoothly this year, there were several times where I could just, like, stop and kind of lean against the wall and look at the room and look at what was happening, kind of take in the fact, like, this is so cool.
Yeah.
It's working. It's happening. And this happens every year.
Yeah.
You know?
And scheduling in buffering time and setup time and making it part of the schedule was a really, really good idea.
Yeah,
I mean, this is like nothing went longer than 5 minutes.
On Friday night, I think we ended a slightly past our block. I think we ended at 11:37, possibly.
Yeah.
Saturday we ended a few minutes before 6.
Yeah.
And Sunday we ended like 21 minutes before 4.
Yeah.
So we, you know, I really think we got this thing down.
Yeah,
know,
between
to
that
a science.
And like. Enforcing a time limit on the Dementia Smackdown, you know.
Yeah.
Things went really, really smoothly as far as the time stuff goes, and definitely repeat, you know, rinse and repeat what.
I think I'm going to ask that from now on with the con staff, that I want the scheduled block of time for the Dementia Smackdown to be 90 minutes, even though we're probably going to end much earlier than that. You know, it's like our way to make sure that, you know. Anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself.
Yeah, that would be preferable.
So, yeah, Nuclear Bubble Wrap, awesome, kick-ass job.
And then the Masquerade happened, but most of us didn't go.
You're missing two important acts.
Oh, I am? I'm sorry.
Cirque du So What?
Oh.
So
they're not important.
Chris Mezzalesta, as I said before, was not able to make it. So we had to figure out a non-Chris Mezzalesta version of a 15-minute set for Cirque du So What. We were going to show videos for, like, Stooge Fighter and Luke Ski Serial, but as we were trying to set up Devo's rig, he discovered that Southwest Airlines had jostled and banged around his video rig so badly that it came loose from, like, the Velcro straps he uses to hold them inside his luggage.
Yeah.
And the inner RAM, or the inner whatever computery chippy thing, like, had come loose, and it was something that he could not fix quickly enough to do his show, which was supposed to happen immediately following Cirque du So What.
Yeah.
So I ran to Anton, the co-con chair, asked him to, if he could, you know, communicate to the woman running the Masquerade that there's a chance we might be slightly delayed due to a technical thing that just happened because of airport assholes. So he went and talked to her, and she said that she'd be fine with it as long as we were out of there by, like, 6:15.
Yeah.
And like I said, we still managed to be out of there before 6, so, you know, that was all good.
God hates comedy musicians.
Yeah, Devo was really pissed off when he found that out. So basically, it's like, all right, well, you know, Devo just had to basically do his show with the music coming off of his cell phone, the background tracks with no video accompaniment. But that also meant that there was no video accompaniment for Cirque du Soleil. But we're like, all right, fine, fuck it, we'll go ahead. So we did 5 sketches. All of them were pretty short, but...
And all of them were ones that could be done without Chris.
Yeah. And I think they went well. I went to Guitar Center and bought I forgot how much it cost, at least $20, bought myself a triangle so that I could have the correct ting sound effect for the Looking for Things sketch. It's also the reason I bought a music stand. I bought a triangle and I bought a $20 triangle and a $40 music stand just so that I could do ting, because I knew that I wouldn't be able to hold the script in my hand and play the triangle and read my lines.
Well, I'm glad my lack of organizational skills over the years helped you to waste money on things.
Well, I've been wanting a music stand. In fact, I might end up using it at my stand, my caricature stand, to place a book on that has bodies and backgrounds.
Yeah.
So it will end up being used in various ways, so it's not like a wasteful purchase. And, you know, I'm between, now I have a triangle and a gyro, I'm starting to amass various... I'm starting to amass various...
Don't look at me like in shock because you burped and got hit on our podcast. Come on, you just got done listening to this whole podcast over again. The whole, you know...
Up to 31.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that in a little bit. Anyway, you threw off my groove.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry, but you've thrown off the Emperor's groove.
Oh, no. Royal Kerry has decreed that your groove shall now be thrown off, and there shall be no burping on the podcast.
That's scary. I can't remember where I was. Oh, yeah.
Good.
Cirque du Soleil. What? So, yes, music stand for scripts and triangle. Ting! So I thought that sketch went well. Oh, plus Sarah got ups because she had to play the part of Kim, and which is retarded.
And that, because Kim didn't want to do it?
No, because I wrote the scripts for characters named Tim and Kim, thinking that Tim and Kim would play them.
Right.
And then at the time when we were recording the album a year or whatever ago, I think Steve was having a fit, so they had to run upstairs and be parents for an extended period of time.
Yeah.
So we're just like, fuck it, Sarah and Diva, come over here, you're recording this sketch.
No, they did well with it. But I thought it was funny because it seemed like Sarah kept looking right at me to see what my reaction was to this. But I was laughing because...
The other thing was, I think Stephanie was in the room at the time, and I don't think she had heard it before. So, yeah. I don't know. I forgot to ask
her
about that later.
Maybe she's looking at Stephanie, too.
Anyway, so... And then there were a couple of new pieces in there, and I hope you thought they were funny.
I probably did, but I don't remember them because I have a poorer memory. I have an old memory of oldiness.
One was like a commercial for like dads should spend time with their kids, and one was a salary review where Shoebox and Devo were going back and forth about like some employee's disciplinary. You have no fucking memory, do you? God damn it! So glad we worked so hard on these things so that they can be amended.
I told you, if we don't, anything we don't document on this podcast will be forgotten forever by me. Forever.
So you were in Minneapolis this past weekend.
Bloomington, actually.
Oh, so now you do remember things. But you don't remember our witty humor.
Toil.
Exactly. So, moving on, Devo Spice then went into his set without video accompaniment, but I thought the set went pretty darn well.
Yes.
We did the Geeks Come Out at Night. We did Platform Wars. It was great. Just before we started, I said to Devo, I'm like, wait, what's the first line of the second verse?
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm a PC and I play all the best games in the industry. I'm like, all right, got it. Let's go.
Yeah.
Cause it's kind of like, I've heard Henry Rollins say this. If you can get through the first line of a verse, the rest just flows right after that.
Oh, has he said that?
Yeah, he has said that. And I found that to be true quite often. So, you know, I, once again, didn't get a chance to rehearse, but it's like, all right, I know I've done this stuff without lyrics before, so I know that I know it, I just need to, you know, fucking go for it.
I liked how you did, or at least you tried to get Devo over to the front of the big white screen so that it looked like you guys had, like, a white background and, like, a box around you, so it was like you were on the commercial. And it was really funny, too, because, like, certain people in the audience picked an allegiance during that song. So, like, Emmy and others would be, hello, I'm a Mac. And then, like, me and Bill and whoever else would be like, and I'm a PC.
There seemed to be more PCs in the crowd.
Yeah, well, so, that's, yeah. You know.
I also love the fact that he did his intro to Cellular Degeneration, in which he complains about how technology companies are, why do we have to have a cell phone that does all this stuff? Why can't it just be a phone? Blah, blah, blah.
And
here's my song.
His instrumental was off of his actual phone.
Yeah, and it was Steve Goody's like, yes, as you play your songs from your phone.
Yeah.
So that was good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Saturday went well.
And then there was a masquerade.
Then there was a masquerade.
That which we didn't go to.
Yeah, I didn't go to that.
But there was also yet another dinner where, first we did the big group photo. And then there was yet another dinner where, yet again, they seemed even more surprised to see us on Saturday than they were on Friday. And then they were like all on one big check. And I was like, no, just separate checks, just like last night. And they were like, that'll be fun. And I'm like,
it's like, douchebags, we fucking contacted you this stuff.
I've been calling you guys for weeks. I spoke to Scott. We had it all set up. So, like, don't be surprised that I'm here. I was probably a little rude, but I'm like that lately. So, hi, Sarah.
And now you know how I feel.
Yay!
Yeah, Sarah's been the one who's put the dinners together for like 3 years in a row or something. And she was not prepared to deal with it this year. But it didn't turn out all that bad. We'll probably try to do the same thing we did next year and probably have the same thing happen where they force me to make a limited menu and then they don't have a limited menu.
But Sarah did make cake balls and raise money for Mark Gunn's daughter. Yay!
Yes.
Kenzie.
Yes.
Kenzie.
We'll put a link to things about Mark Gunn's daughter, Kenzie, on our show thingy so that you can do that.
Yes, she needs open heart surgery, and Sarah made cake balls and sold them. And they sold fast.
Like in 10 minutes.
I was surprised they didn't all sell out before the con, since you sent a message out about them.
No, just 4 boxes before the con.
Man, yeah. Kyle was like, cake balls!
His wife really dug him, too.
Yeah. I got to steal Blasted Bill's last cake ball.
It's okay. It's all right.
A person who is female who is in a relationship with
significant other.
Oh, kitty cuddle.
I asked him even. I'm like, is that your wife or your girlfriend? And then I can't even remember.
It's all right.
Oh.
Your name is Luke Ski anyway.
Fuck you.
That was great. I picked up our badges, and my badge said the great Luke Ski, and Sarah's badge said Luke Ski. So Sarah got out a Sharpie and wrote not and with a underlined thing. So it says not Luke Ski, and then she wrote Sarah underneath. So that was epic.
5 years. I've been going to that con for 5 years. You think they can learn my name?
And then I suppose you don't like it when you get called Sarah Ski either.
That is slightly more tolerable.
Slightly more.
I've been trying to get him to change his name to the Great Luke Trice, but so far...
Would make more sense.
I know, right? I love you.
Did you get your Mardi Gras food?
I got my étouffée.
Oh, they are officially married, they found out recently, right? You just got your marriage certificate.
No, I didn't get one, but I thought I was supposed to get one. And then I looked on their thing, and it says, you know, we don't automatically send these out.
Like, you have to go and pay for one, because they like you to pay for lots of things, so...
I noticed that.
Yeah, we had to do the same thing.
Yeah,
so,
and if I want it mailed to me, or if I want to order it online, it's like twice
extra,
the price.
Yeah. Yeah. Not at all shocked.
Nope.
You should probably get a copy, though, for your records.
Probably. I'll get around
to it. I've been meaning to make it, since I have a different last name than my husband, I've been meaning to, like, make copies of it to carry around with, so that, like, you know, we don't have to go through a bunch of trouble to prove that, yes, we are husband and wife, you know, and not just trying to pretend for whatever reason.
We should really probably stick a song here, because we got to talk about the party bus and Sunday still.
Okay, well, great idea for a song is a song.
Okay, here is Worm Quartet, the music guest of honor this year, with one of his all-time greatest hits on Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport, Here we go.
Remember when we used to hold each other close and gaze so deeply in each other's eyes? Remember how I said I'd never let you go and how you swore you'd never tell me lies? You do? Well, all I remember is way you nonchalantly squashed my heart just like a cockroach on the floor. All I remember is the happiness I felt the day I finally kicked your skank ass out the door. Remember when you were the best part of my life, the reason I got up to face the day. Remember how you swore you'd always stay by me and love me for forever come what may. You do well. All I remember is that I should go out drinking and I pray the gods will find you somewhere dead. All I remember is waiting and all my dishes became airborne and flew right into my head.
With Pissy, and Susie rhymes with Floozy, and Patty rhymes with Fatty, Elizabeth rhymes with Kissadeth, and Eleanor rhymes with Smelly Whore, and Marigold rhymes with Harry Holt, and Lauren rhymes with Scorin'.
Celia Linda Park rhymes with Philia in the dark, Daisy Rhoda York rhymes with Easy Ho to Pork, Ronald may stop back rhymes with Fondling my butt crack, I pay and change your name to Shelly Hodge. Hey! Remember when your latest hook stopping me, and left you for a nicer piece of ass? Remember when you called me somebody on the phone and begged me to forgive you for your past? You do? Well, all I remember is that elaborate selfless letters after taking an electric shock or two. I'd rather duct tape a live wire to my groin and take a death march down memory lane with you. Now please don't think I want to be your friend now. I'd rather see John Goodman in a thong. But if only it ain't right with backstabbing heartless tramp, I'd have a great idea for a song.
Condoms!
I have a great idea for a song!
And we're back. So, since we just played that song, you have to finish that story you started earlier.
Okay, well, I'll probably get it wrong because I have a bad memory, but it started off with the middle of the song where it kind of... It's kind of building to a climax as... Shoebox starts rhyming, because Becky rhymes with yucky, and Missy rhymes with pissy, and Susie rhymes with floozy, and Patty rhymes with fatty. And I know most of the words of this song, and apparently so do most of my friends, because I started off in the hallway singing this entire part, me and Breakman Z just singing it at each other. So I'm running around the back to try to go get a bottle of water before I go back to my seat. So... I come in, I think I may have sang it with another person by the door, but I don't remember who. So I'm singing more lyrics with this person who's singing them with me. Then I run, I continue running back, I stop again because Kiki's singing it, so me and Kiki are singing it at each other. And then I run around and I sit next to Byron and I start singing it to him. And then I run over and get my water and get back to the seat just after the song ended, and I don't know, I guess you had to be there, but it was just kind of cool to just...
So it's like, if your life was, you know, being shot as a musical, it'd be like one uninterrupted Dolly shot of you walking around singing these lyrics, and everyone you pass is like, Elizabeth rhymes with kids and that! And then the next person comes in, and then they all have top hats and canes, and then Brendan jumps in with a sign, hey! And then move on to the next scene.
Yeah, it was pretty fucking epic, just... You know, how I could just, like, run around singing the song and, like, everybody else knew it, even though it's, you know, in spite of its success on Dr. Demento, it's pretty damn obscure. So, you know, it was pretty cool.
So, Saturday, eating and then Party Rob's Party Bus.
And there goes my bracelet.
Party Rob's Party Beads.
Bracelet foul. Can we pause for a second?
Good lord.
Okay, we have returned from bracelet break, literally. So, Party Bus.
Yes.
The bus itself was black. It had a bunch of seats in a round, different than I was expecting. I guess in my imagination it was like twice as big. And there was like a dance floor and like, you know. there was seats in a round with cup holders. There was a little area towards the front for sound system stuff. And that was about it. There's no bathroom or anything on the bus.
The bus itself was less impressive than Rob and the website make it out to be. I mean, it's certainly a neat bus, and great fun was had by all in it.
But yes.
I was expecting it to be... Rob kept saying to me, make sure to mention the, you know, 5 million different lights colored light show in it.
Yeah.
Which was basically...
There was no light show.
There's some twinkling lights behind other stuff, so things kind of look like there's glowing coming from behind it or near the seats or whatever. I was expecting the ceiling to have something, you know, from... You'd see on a Las Vegas, you know, hotel, or Disney World or something like, you know, Spectro Magic.
For all we know, Rob may have been
under that little, same impression.
Yeah, surprised by it as well. We'll find out later. But there was a lot of colored lights thanks to the supplies that Rob brought on, all of the various neon glow sticks of various sizes and shapes.
He ordered some very awesome Fump drinking cups that he was able to put glow sticks into, so we had our blue glowing Fump cups.
Yeah, which I wouldn't touch. The only glow stick thing that I touched was I decided to put a headband on during our concert so that with the Mickey glow stick ears so that people could see me a little better. But since I got glow stick poisoning at Con and the Cob, I didn't want anything to do with glow sticks. Especially not in my drink.
So I only rode the first ride and the last ride. The first ride was myself and Carrie performing. Yeah. And fortunately, Mr. Jared Ringgold supplied the necessary sound equipment so that there could be music.
Yeah.
And originally, Jared was just going to do the first ride to make sure it all worked okay. But he ended up riding all four of the rides just so, because I guess that's what he wanted to do.
Yeah, I was on all four rides also, so I'll be able to report on that. But
so we were kind of the test run to make sure all the equipment worked.
Yeah, well, we didn't finish seeing all the other things that Rob supplied, which was like a big cooler full of a special Rob mix alcohol drink thing. Bus fuel is how the drink is officially known. And there was various forms of soda and snacks in packages, and I think that's it. I can't think of anything else that I haven't mentioned already. But we were the first act. Me and Luke, since Chris couldn't make it, it was just me and Luke, and it was called Luke and Carrie's Bus Rapport, right?
Yep.
And
we started with me performing my song "Come On Ride the Bus." The song "Another One Rides the Bus" by Weird Al Yankovic, its creation, it's legendary, blah, blah, blah. But it just seemed appropriate to kick off Party Rob's Party Bus with that track, and then Carrie followed it up with her song Road Tripper.
Yes, so we had two songs about buses and or road tripping. You just said that.
Yes.
What did next was one of your songs? I don't remember the set list.
I did Sheldon's Delight.
Yeah.
At some point.
And Blues Campbell at some point.
I did Sheldon's Delight, Anime Fan, Blues Campbell, and I ended up doing Snoopy the Dog because we had a few more minutes as we pulled into the hotel.
Yeah.
So.
And my other songs were Reckoned by the Book, Jabba Jive, the premiere performance, also known as debut performance. And what else did I...
The World is Made Of.
Oh, yeah, The World is Made Of for a nice big sing-along at the end.
Yes. So, you know, it's another reason why I'm unhappy with the situation of me not being able to rehearse and memorize is it was like an interesting new... It's like if you played Rock Band and you got really good at it. Okay, now you have to play Rock Band. You don't have the song memorized, so you have to read it off of a lyric sheet. Also, it's going to be in the dark. Also, you're going to be standing on a platform with people shaking it back and forth and jostling you. You know? So it was just like this interesting experience trying to get through Sheldon's Delight and Blues Campbell because I was having to hold the lyric sheet right up to my face because the only light I had to read the lyrics from was the flickering colored lights coming out from behind baseboards and stuff.
Why didn't you just hand it to me to hold?
Because it would have been too far away in the dark for me to see it.
I could have stepped closer.
And then you would have accidentally punched me in the face.
That would
or
have been
was it accidentally?
Yeah, exactly.
So it was that was interesting, but you know, once again, we've got through it all right. Everyone seemed to have a good time on the bus for the show. I did an interesting ad-lib at the end of Anime Fan when I kind of realized, oh yeah, we're not on the main stage. I can be dirty if I want to. So I just kind of went the obvious direction.
Yeah.
With
and
that.
I didn't have to replace the word assholes with potholes in my...
Yes. So, and the other fun part of that was, you know, normally I've been known in the past often to use the props and costumes in my shows, and that's been kind of less and less lately. But since you were doing Reckoned by the Book, I decided to bring the puppets and costume for that. So we managed to get through a full performance of you and I doing Reckoned by the Book fully with costume and puppets on the bus in the dark.
Well, that was preceded by an unintelligible conversation with Chris Mezzalesta over the speakerphone into the mic.
Yes.
And when somebody said, it sounds like you have a little Chris Mezzalesta doll with you, then I pulled out the puppet and puppet and started mouthing along with Chris's syllables.
Yes. So that was fun. I called Chris back later that night and kind of filled him in on some stuff. So
yeah. And other than tile, we really didn't understand a word Chris said, or at least I know I didn't.
Yes. Another interesting aspect is Byron, between Byron and Blasted Bill, somebody had a recorder on the bus for all four of the rides, so we're going to get to have some form of excerpts of the live music from the rides on the party bus.
Yeah.
On next year's next year's fundraiser compilation.
Yeah.
So the bus left later than scheduled, but that's because they had to figure out how the hell everything was going to work.
Yeah.
But once they got to that point, things went well. And Sarah, against her will, stepped in and was the person to make sure that people got on the bus who were supposed to get on the bus. And you basically spent the evening hanging out down in the Martells, you know, waiting for people to come by. So you kind of gave up a huge chunk of your Saturday, you know, because, you know, somebody needed to do something. So
pretty much every ride had more people that wanted to be on it than could be on it, with the possible exception of the third ride.
Well, I was going to go on the last ride. And then I told people, okay, you know, for all the rides, if you're not signed up for it, you know, come at the end and we'll see if there's room for you. So I was going to go on the last ride, and I came back in, and there's four or five people just staring at me with these puppy dog eyes, like I've kicked their kitten if I don't let them on.
Yeah.
And I eventually had to play the I'm thinking of a number game to pick who went on there.
Yeah.
But it was just, really? I guess I'm not going.
Yeah, I was surprised that after all that work that you never went on
it. Yeah, I told you when I went in, I'm like, do you want to ride? And you're like, just go in. So you could have come and plucked me out. I would have been willing to let you ride and missed it, but...
Yeah, well... At that point, I just didn't want to deal with it anymore.
Well, at least now we have practical knowledge. If we assume Rob intends to do this next year...
Which he said he does.
You know, that... Now we know that the number of people who can be on each bus is much less, and that we have to factor in the number of people performing as well.
Well, we have to factor in Rob,
yeah,
the sound guy, the people performing, and the fact that there are not 24 seats on that bus.
No. So it's about 21 as far as I could count.
Well, because like the bus's website says it's a 30-plus passenger van. And I guess by that they mean, people will stand in the aisle the whole, you know.
If people are standing and if people are not quite the size that most dementia folk are.
Yeah.
And I said this to several people and they agreed. I mean,
yeah, it wasn't the size of dementia fans.
Save for gear, we're kind of a big, kind of big people. And he's got the advantage of being 14 or 15.
Yeah.
We could fold him up and fit him in the glove box.
Yeah.
Well.
Anyway, so like I said, I was not on the second or third ride, so you can tell us about those really quickly.
Jace is pretty compact also.
Yeah.
So the second ride was, it started with a 14-year-old dementia fan turned performer Gifted Gear doing some of his music. He's also kind of more on the Filk end of things. He ran a little long, which allowed less time for DJ Particle. Well, DJ Particle really did whatever she was normally going to do. Ultimately, it allowed less time for Beth Kinderman at the end. So Beth only did three songs and didn't even get to doing her funny stuff because her set kind of got cut short. But it was full. But it was kind of, you know, it was low-key, it was cool. You know, I always enjoy seeing Emmy perform because she's a good friend of mine. And I've known her for longer than I've known any of y'all.
Yeah, and on the 13th floor when I saw her later that night, she like ran up and gave me this huge hug. She's like, thank you so much for getting me on the party bus to perform. It was such a great time. She was like,
well, it was like
so
the
ecstatic.
Perfect atmosphere, too, for like her type of her favorite like genres of music being like techno and dance.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was a thing I was dealing with. Goofy ass blood sugar personally. Oh, multiple giddies. The third ride was really cool. It was Nuclear Bubble Wrap, followed by Odd Austin, followed by Steve Goody. And the one bad part of that was since Wildcard wasn't there to eye the cooler and nobody else was eyeing the cooler fell and the entire contents of the cooler and all of its expensive alcohol fell onto the floor.
How far into that ride did that happen?
Not very long. It was the second, like, Nuclear Bubble Wrap's, like, second or third song. and so that kind of sucked and was not good, but Nuclear Bubble Wrap was very professional about it. They just kept, you know, they paused for a moment and then they just kept on going. And they're really funny, and they did Birdfucker, of course, which is actually not a song that they wrote, but that's okay, because we associate that song with them. And Odd Austin did, I don't remember what else he did other than the same song that he did during the Fump Jukebox later, which was, something about weight. Something about being overweight. It's something like called Denial or something. And Steve Goody was quite amusing, and it seemed like the perfect atmosphere. Steve Goody's really good at playing off of people and ad-libbing and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, he's been a professional performer for so long.
But he did say, you know, it was his first time ever performing on a bus while he was going backwards. And reiterated that we were the best audience he'd ever had performing on a bus going backwards. That's so,
cool. So meanwhile, I for part of that time, I was hanging out with Sarah and Shoebox and Kim and Kyle and Lindsay and a few others at Martell's, and that was really cool. I'm very glad that I had some time to just hang out with, you know, with, you know, not only with my lovely wife, but also with Kyle and Lindsay, just so I could actually get some, spend some time with them and hang out and talk and get to know them. So it was a really cool time down there. And, you know, it's one of those situations where I can't remember too many specifics about, well, you know, what we said going back and forth, that we were just kind of all over the place and just having fun.
That sounds cool.
So
they seem really cool.
At some point, I went up to the 13th floor just to look around because I wanted to see how things were going up there.
Yeah.
So.
So then, finally, was the last ride. And by the way, I was kind of under the misimpression that these rides would be like going into like cool destinations in the Twin Cities.
Well,
they didn't.
Yeah. Initially, I thought we were going to be like essentially hitting the highway, driving like to downtown St. Paul, over to downtown Minneapolis, and then back to Bloomington. That's what I thought the route was going to be. Apparently, they just
figured out...
Well,
that would take
out
too long, but I mean, I thought one route was going to go to downtown Minneapolis and back, and then the other one was going to go downtown St. Paul and back. And well, that would probably take too long also.
Nobody ever told the driver where to go.
Yeah.
So he just sort of went.
Yeah. So the second, third, and fourth times I had to... I wasn't sure where we were until I used my Android. So the second, third, and fourth rides were around Lake Nokomis, which is really near to the Mall of America, which is really near to MarsCon. And I don't know where the first ride went because obviously I was too busy performing to really get a good sense of where that was. It was different. That's all I know. But so I mean, that might be a nice thing to incorporate next year. However, they'd have to kind of like double the length of the rides for that to happen. So I don't know if that would happen, but it would be kind of nice.
Well, next year, well, anyway, I don't want to get into that.
Shoebox and Devo Spice and Rob, and of course, Rob Boulder, Party Rob.
Yeah.
And by the way, at this point, Ken was like, you know, drunk as a skunk.
Ken was having a good old time.
Yeah. Yeah, I hadn't seen Ken have as much fun or be as full of joy as he was over this particular MarsCon weekend in a while. Rob took the quote-unquote stage first and did some numbers, and the crowd was loving it. And then it was Shoebox, or then it was Devo Spice. Devo Spice is next, I think.
Yeah.
And
Shoebox went last.
Devo Spice did an intro of a song, and all he said was, "And now it's time to make Carrie cry." and then he did "I Hate Mondays," and good job, you did make me cry. Thumbs up.
In my mind, I'm thinking it's like we're singing sitting in traffic. We are sitting in traffic, so to speak. We're on a bus.
That's hilarious.
Yes, I'm incredibly hilarious.
Wow.
My wife is looking at me.
Sarah just gave him the "that's incredibly hilarious" facial expression.
Which is to say,
heavy sigh.
Which is to say, no expression at all. But yeah, and
And it was good to have Shoebox go last.
Yeah. He was fitting to go last.
Yeah, his stuff was really pumping.
And then at one point, because Devo had it, we did Konami Code by the Gossicles.
That's right.
And
that was awesome. That was perfect for the bus.
And I got to say, I mean, Jace and Brendan are awesome guys, and I'm sure Jace was having a good time. But Brendan seems to me be the most excitable, like, happy dude ever. It's like, he just, like, jumping and stomping his
That's
feet.
Not a bad
and he was
thing.
Just like, yeah. I mean, like, you know, he was having such a ball.
That's
every
not
time
a bad
I,
thing.
It's like it was, like, nonstop 24-7 party with Brendan.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean,
he's a cool
if
dude.
Only we could all be like that.
I mean, Jace is awesome, too. I love Jace, too. But it was, like, just the fact that Brendan was emoting it so much, he, like, really stood out. It's like, whoa.
Well, speaking of emoting. Noting it so much, as soon as I heard the music to "I'm Not a Girl" start up, I was just like, and screaming. And like Bill looked over me and he started laughing. He goes, "You're such a fangirl."
I tweeted this at some point during the weekend. I said, it's so cool. In fact, it might have been when I was on the bus for that ride. I tweeted, it's so cool that all my favorite musicians are all friends of mine.
Yeah,
you know,
I saw that.
It's so cool to be like, yeah, you know, this is the place to be, man.
Yeah, and I was all weekend sending photos to Facebook and Twitter since I have a super smartphone and I'm all hooked up with TwitPic and Facebook Mobile. So,
Then after the party bus, we had Dementia Smackdown Wrestling, which is also available for viewing on YouTube.
Yes, that's a thing
at
that
the previous place we mentioned.
Jared Perez, aka Mr. Tuesday, does, and that was pretty epic.
Yeah, he has one of those WWE wrestling video games where you can create your own wrestler avatars.
Yeah.
So he created avatars of virtually everybody involved with the Dementia track, all the artists and performers, and puts them all in a 20-man battle royal, and then we have commentary over it by me and Jared, and then
Duke Flyboy du jour and
Commissioner JP Tuesday.
Yes.
Tuesday. Uh-huh. So that was really epic. And I don't want to give away the ending, but it was kind of a surprise victory for the winner. So you can go watch that on YouTube. And it was pretty awesome. Anything else you want to say about Saturday night?
Oh, definitely. That was another one of my favorite memories. It all started at the wrestling thing where my character lost more quickly than any of the other of the 19 other characters in the whole thing. My character got in the ring, got thrown out, the end. And which
was is particularly sad because you weren't in it the previous year because the version of the game that Jared had wouldn't allow female wrestler avatars to wrestle male wrestler
avatars as they have
in the past.
Well, actually, this version wouldn't either. What he did was he created me and Beth Kinderman as men, but then manipulated it to look as womanly as possible.
Yeah, which worked, but they didn't have that in the previous incarnation, so it wasn't even an option.
Yeah, something like that.
So you were so psyched about being in it this year, and then you got kicked out fairly quickly after.
And then Josh kept making fun of me for, I kept booing for Devo Spice since he was one of the characters who tossed me out of the ring, and he stayed in it for a really long time. So I kept booing for him, and Josh would be like, it's not his fault you suck at wrestling. And all this other stuff that he was doing to make fun of me, and I'm beating him mercilessly.
I saw you from the back. You were giving him a good pounding.
Hopefully I left a couple bruises. So the thing ends, and I'm going to the elevator with Josh, and Luke happens to be going with us. So, I'm, sitting here, making fun of him. Ken was rooting for me, and Josh is sitting here, making fun of me, and blah, blah, blah. And, Luke, and I forgot to press the button for my floor, so we were all the way down to Luke's floor. And Luke gets out of the elevator, and he goes, dainty. And then he starts running as fast as he can. So I got out of the elevator, and I chased him as fast as I could down the hallway. Which I was able to catch up with him because he's a short motherfucker. And
you caught up with me because I got to the door I was going into. I wasn't going to keep running past room 518.
I caught up with you.
You did not catch up with me before room 518.
I caught up with you and I beat you with my purse. And that was another one of my favorite memories of the con because we were laughing our asses off.
And it didn't hurt because you're dainty.
I'll make it hurt, bitch. Okay. That was fun.
So you and Josh went to bed at that point.
No, we did not. We did not go to bed. Then I was up till 4 in the morning.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I went to my room to change my insulin pump and infusion sites because that's not optional and partying is.
Yeah, me and Sarah kind of walked around for a while and hung out a little bit, and then Sarah went to bed, and then I was in the con suite talking with some people.
Yeah,
and then
I saw you later.
And then I finally said, all right, I'm going to bed about 3 a.m. So,
yeah.
The party floor, had all its usual accoutrements. It had the con suite, had the karaoke room, had the
Space Oddity room.
Space Oddity room, which was fun.
One notable thing I wanted to say that happened up there was we met another one of, you know, one of us that we had never met before. A young woman named Teresa from Madison, Wisconsin, drove out to MarsCon on Saturday. She wasn't there on Friday, but she drove out on Saturday just because of the dementia track.
Really?
She had heard of us through the Mad Music Archive initially.
Wow.
And came out and was hanging out with us. She's very shy and quiet, so I didn't get really learn anything more about her other than that. But she knew all the words to My Cat is Afraid of the Vacuum Cleaner when we were doing a sing-along of that. So, and then she was there on Sunday. So hopefully we'll hear from her again or see her around again, because we like, you know, continuing to suck in as many people as we can. That was one of the other things about the con that was kind of weird, is a lot of people were missing. They're usually there.
I don't know if it was a state of the economy situation or what, but Matt and Tara weren't there. Megan and Moonbeam and their significant others weren't there.
Blacksmith
wasn't there.
Sinstress.
Yeah, there was a definite
TA.
And
the list goes on and on, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, not that I necessarily expected, you know, Gabe to come back again 2 years in a row, but he wasn't there either. I did notice that. And that's another thing. Jared Perez, you know, graciously videotaped all these concerts and threw them all up on YouTube. But he was doing it from the far right side of the room, facing the stage. And nobody sits on that side of the room, barely at all. So in all of his videos, it looks like we have no audience.
Yeah. Other side of the room.
So it's like wherever Jared sets up, I'm going to, like, you know, ahead of time, like, lay down some, like, you know, painter's tape, like, just the camera angles coming out from his camera, like, okay, you all have to sit in this triangle of seats. You know, when I tell people, like, you know, Chris Hardwick and Mike Furman, and try to talk them into coming into the con, I want them to see a packed house. Even if it's a total lie, I want them to see a packed house. Damn it. There was plenty of people in that room, and on the internet, it looks like nobody was there. So, anyway.
End rant.
Yes.
So Sunday happened.
We had the Dementia Fan Showcase. Another thing that was highly, or I should say lightly attended.
I feel bad, but I mean, it was in the morning. I was up till 4.
Yeah, and we started a half hour earlier than usual. And plus the fact that this year, more of the acts that perform at that were actually getting some time on the main stage.
Yeah.
So it was kind of a smaller rotation than usual. But they did manage to get through, like, 3 rotations, mm-hmm. and Brett Glass was there doing songs, Jeff Rubin was there doing songs, Breakman Z, Gear, eventually Jace showed up and did a song or two, so it was a good old time. You know, me and Devo were there. God, something happened that made Devo and I just break out laughing. I can't remember what it was. I'm sure I'll remember when I listen to the recordings.
Yeah, when it's,
you know,
too late.
You know. But, just, you know, lots of fun. At one point, somebody did something, and I said my usual Simpsons reference that is, you know.
What's that about Gebbo?
Yeah, I said, what's that about Gebbo? And, like, Devo started cracking up.
Me and Josh watched The Simpsons last night, and he lost. It was a really recent episode where all the robot-like women get off the plane.
Yeah.
And they're like, what, are you robots? And they're like, no, robots would be capable of developing human emotions. We're graduates of Arizona State. And then Josh just completely lost it.
Simpsons rules.
Sorry, side tangent.
It's okay. So Sunday got going with Nuclear Bubble. No, that. With Soggy Potato
Chips.
Soggy
Potato Chips. A different 3-word. Nuclear bubble. Okay.
Yeah. So, Alcav and Brandon.
Brandon
and Sean.
Very talented group of brothers there.
Yes.
They're all 3 brothers.
Yes. And they did an awesome set.
Brandon was particularly impressive to me. His keyboard skills were very epic.
Yep.
And then was the Funk Jukebox.
No, I'm trying.
You're trying to.
I was trying to think of something more specific to say about the show, but just that they...
It was actually... Oops, sorry, honey. It actually, after begging, you know, people to show up to the Sunday concerts so you wouldn't have to put up with artists saying, nobody comes to the Sunday shows, then, like, yeah, that one was very lightly attended, too, unfortunately. But I made sure to get my ass down there.
Okay, so,
So, Funk Jukebox,
yeah. And that went well, and I was actually able to squeeze Brett Glass and Jeff Rubin into the lineup. I asked Rob Balder if he wanted to do a song, and he opted not to, just because he felt like he wasn't up to it after partying so much the night before.
He was post-party Rob at that point.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I did Twitter tweeting. I closed that off with Twitter tweeting, and, is that when Emmy did that song that we played already in this episode, or... wait, the song we're about to play.
Yeah, the song we're about to play. So, yeah, that's she did that song. Brett Glass did, oh, man, I forgot what song he did now.
I Put Him Away.
No, that was during the, SmackDown.
That was during the SmackDown.
I can't remember.
It was good, whatever it was. Remember that much.
Jeff Rubin did his Fondled by the TSA song.
That's okay. We don't have to remember everybody who's in it in every song that they did.
The point is, it went well, and it lasted the allotted amount of time it was supposed to last. So,
yes.
You know, I intend to bring that back every year so that artists who show up who don't get main stage concerts can have a chance to perform, because I intend to make sure that, you know, basically people who didn't get to perform this year get first dibs. People who didn't get a main stage concert slot this year get priority dibs over those who did this year.
Yay!
So you know, and that includes folks who, you know, like Raymond and Scum and Hot Waffles and Positude and the Gothsicles and Power Salad. You know, I want to make sure that we're letting everyone get a fair chance to perform at MarsCon, because we can't, we unfortunately can't do like we did last year and have 17 or 18 acts and have so much stuff crammed into,
yeah,
you know, and have to have a Saturday night block and blah, 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 blah. It's like, we're just going to have to do this a different way and hope that people will still be willing to come out and hang out and have fun, even if they don't get a main stage show.
Yeah.
So anyway, so yeah, moving on, Insane Ian, I think he did a really great show. He had a video accompaniment.
So he was the only act all weekend to have that video accompaniment.
And fortunately for him, he had the foresight to have it on a DVD as a backup.
Yeah.
Because he was originally going to be using Devo Spice's rig, and Devo Spice's rig got messed up by the airlines. So, yeah. But he did I'm not sure if this is the official part two of the epic video game medley.
Yeah,
but
I missed that, because I guess I assumed it was going to be the same thing, and I totally missed it.
It started out the same way.
Let's go in the bathroom.
It started out the same way, and that changed to other stuff.
Yeah, I missed the Angry Birds bit and everything.
Yeah, and
He said later that he's doing a new medley, and it's coming out later this month.
Yeah, it'll be on the Fump.
Cool, yeah, he told me that, so later this month we will get to hear that in all its glory.
And we got to end with my Mario Kart bit from the hidden track on the last arcade.
Oh, I missed that too.
So and then he performed Dig Dug and had a not final product version of the music video he's working on, and it looks awesome. So I'm really psyched for him to get that Dig Dug video finished.
I missed that too.
Why do you miss things? You and your bladder.
Well. No, then I was like, people at Table 27 wanted to talk, so I was and Rob, and I was talking, so, and then it was the Dementia Smackdown.
Yes, and that went pretty darn well, as far as, like, me trying to keep the trains running on time, so to speak.
It was very tight and concise. I think the, we'll obviously say what you and I did, and I think...
Well, the original... Odd Austin is putting together a Weird Al tribute album called 26 and a Half. And so I kind of assumed that meant a bunch of the artists was going to be doing Weird Al covers because they already had been recently working on some, and I was right. About five different acts told me they were going to be doing Weird Al-related songs.
Yeah.
One of which is a new song by Devo Spice, an original. He wrote a hip-hop song called Weird Al Didn't Write This Song.
Yes, so that was really awesome.
And Steve Goody had contacted me saying he needs to go first because he has to leave to catch a plane.
Yeah.
So I had Steve Goody going first doing an Al cover,
well,
and then a bunch of others, and then Devo Spice doing Weird Al Didn't Write This Song.
Well, Steve
then
Goody's...
Devo, let me finish. Then told me, oh, he has to leave right away too.
Yeah.
So I had to move him up to be just after Steve Goody.
Yeah.
And then when the show happened, I found out two of those other guys decided to do other songs that weren't by Weird Al anyway. So it's like, why the fuck did you take a bag?
Anyways,
so that was my point. Now Steve, talk about Steve Goody.
Steve Goody completely lip-synced his cover of one of my favorite Weird Al originals, Everything You Know Is Wrong. But, you know, he went up there with his guitar, pretending to play it, you know, went up to the mic, checked the mic to make sure it was working, and then pretended to sing. Then I think Jace came out with a snare drum and pretended to drum it, and the other two Nuclear Bubble Rap guys came out probably with their guitars switched I don't remember if Brendan plays lead or bass, but whichever one he plays, he probably wasn't the one he was holding. And then Kyle had the other one. And then, so they were all, like, pretending to play their instruments during the whole thing, and everybody thought it was hilarious. And Devo Spice's song went over really well. And Brett Glass got to do a thing at the last minute. And Emmy's cover of Carla Ulbricht's If I Had a Copyright on the Word Fuck censored version, with Byron Lee acting as the live bleeper, went over really well. As Emmy, you know, completely acting, pretended like she was really pissed off about being bleeped and censored. you know, although she is really against censorship, but that's another story. And
can I have a random thing just pop in here?
Okay.
On Twitter, the Boobles' debut album, The Pink Album, is now available. Buy it now and help support breast cancer research. Theboobles.org.
Oh, yeah, shit.
Because that happened, the premiere of that happened elsewhere in the country this weekend.
Yes, and I heard their song, Wardrobe Malfunction on Dr. Demento yesterday, and it was epically awesome, and Rich and Charlie of Flat 29 are voices in it.
Yes.
And it's... That's not the reason why it's awesome, but that enhances its awesomeness.
Yes.
It's nice that we just have some British guys in our community. We can just say, hey, can you just say these words? Not like, can you say these in a British accent?
Cheese sandwich.
Because for some reason, they do the accent better than we do. But, can I talk about my SmackDown thing now?
Yep.
So, I did... Zombies on the Lawn from Plants vs. Zombies. Now, this is really interesting because, like, in kind of a weird coincidence relating to this podcast, I guess, Brett Glass ended up providing the instrumental on about 24 hours' notice because he, like, randomly mentioned something to Josh about, well, I can't wait to hear you guys do that Plants vs. Zombies thing. And then he was saying, yeah, I've sequenced that whole song, and Laura Shigihara has heard it and said that she liked it and all this stuff. And Josh thought it was completely random, probably because he never listens to the podcast anymore. So he didn't know that I have, in several months ago, mentioned that me and Josh like to sing that song to each other as kind of our lullaby, or sing it with each other. If Brett Glass had not brought that up, we were going to be doing the song with the actual song, so I would have had to sing over the vocals that are there. Instead, you know, serendipity, fate, what have you, I had Brett Glass's instrumental. I had a crappy headband that was supposed to make me look like a sunflower. Luke came out with a... screen door shield made out of poster board. Josh, that Luke made. Josh came out in a road cone made out of poster board that Luke made. And then straggling behind them on purpose, coming out the way they do in the game, Ken came out in a football jersey. And that got a lot of laughs. And so those were my three zombies. And Luke also had a heart with a tear thinking about brains to represent the fact that brains are quite rich in cholesterol, and cholesterol makes a heart sad. And finally, Luke had purchased a green wicker basket and a bunch of like green, like army colored eggs, like plastic eggs, to represent peas, so that I could quote unquote shoot peas at the zombies. And so we had to rehearse a little bit. You know, the guys did all their lines well and did their funny dancing, and it was epically awesome.
Yep. And then I came out and did the Humpty Dance, which was, you know, anticlimactic, I guess, but at least it gave me an excuse to make a new set of Humpty Nose glasses.
You're the one who said you wanted to go last, so.
Well, you know, it would have been nice if I would have been able to actually come up with something new, because, you know, it is a rare opportunity to do something new and cool each year, but I had too many other things going on at the last minute that, you know, kept me from being able to do anything better.
You did have a full Humpty Hump costume, so it's, you know, it was an enjoyed performance. I don't know if, I wouldn't go so far as to say it was anticlimactic.
I was hoping that the crowd would get, like, pumped and start, like, clapping and dancing and...
I was dancing.
Well...
I was off to the side, though. You probably couldn't see me.
So, anyway, and then we, you know, closed down Table 27. You know, things seemed to go smoothly there all weekend. So, yeah.
The group had a good time at cons. You guys left. Then we left, and... We were on the same airport shuttle with Kyle and Lindsay, so we got to talk to them a little more, and we're like, MarsCon's not over yet because we're still together. So that, like, went on for a little while at the airport until we got separated, and then MarsCon is over for me. Ken and Bill and them guys got to go swimming and have their breakfast buffet the next morning and have their journey. Have their road trip thing the next day, but not us. And that's the story of MarsCon.
Yay!
And you thought it would never end.
So yeah, just stuff, things, goodness.
DJ Particle.
MarsCon went really smoothly.
Yes.
The only thing that went wrong, so to speak, was when Devo discovered the airline fucked up his stuff. And then we had to scramble to make that work, and we did. And we, you know, we even managed to still get that block finished when it was supposed to be finished.
Yeah.
So the, you know, it's kind of a highlight for me, or, you know, just overall how things went well, and I'm looking forward to, you know, I'm looking forward to next year. I already have some very specific plans in place as to who. We're hoping to get for guest of honor.
Yeah.
And I've already been...
I am aware of this plan.
And there's other acts which I've, you know, been talking to saying, hey, we'd really love it if you made it out. You know, please try to make it out if you can.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll just... I typically, you know, write down some notes in a notebook at this point and then leave it alone until about October. And then I get that notebook out and be like, okay, time to start planning for next year.
Yeah.
Because at some point it just needs to end so that I can move on with my life and keep Sarah from stabbing me in the face repeatedly. One thing we totally didn't mention. You know what? We'll just save that for what's Luke plugging now, because that would fit there.
Okay.
But it's time for... we're going to do 5 songs this episode just because we're running so long with the MarsCon thing. It needs to be broken up in that way.
Yep.
So this is the song that DJ Particle performed at the Fump Jukebox show, and it's about saying, hey, if you want to make comedy music, there's no reason for you not to... You can make it too and become part of this scene. And the song is called, if I remember correctly, what is it called?
I forgot.
I think it's called Could It Be You?
Yeah.
Yes. So here we go. DJ Particle.
Woo!
I like those laugh track songs. Weird Al and Carrie Doggy, even when they're wrong. I see Monkey and Drunk Dolly. Who's the next to bring the funny? Could it be you? Could it be you? I like those fake ads. Wimpy or Brokeback Mice or maybe Backward Tail. When rap by Devo Spice, who's the next to bring the funny? Could it be you? Could it be you? Do you like songs that make you laugh? Ever wanna make one? Now this is your chance. It's easier than ever to get that project done. It don't even matter if you sound like William Hung. Yeah, get a mic and go. Rock band loaded, they start the show. Go and get a back and cracker SEO. Looking like it's up on the Fox Sideshow. You could be the one in the big spotlight. Top 20 or the best on the air tonight. Doesn't really matter if you're left or right. That's just what we like. I like that Paul and Storm. Their song, Maple Wing Safer, and those nerd core stars. Like Bard or Dark or Shaper. Who's the next to bring the funny? Could it be you? Could it be you? Original. Parodies of hits. Don't need a major studio, just need funny wits. Maybe a cappella, or maybe clapping hands. It don't even matter if it sounds like a tin can. Yeah, party rock that bill. Play it on guitar, make smooth as still. That's the kind of song that the fandom builds. Looking like the Geek Club just won't will. There's no baby album by tonight. Looking for somebody who the geek crowd likes. Doesn't really matter if you're new to the life. That's just what I like. I like those hard rock beats, just like Possible Oscar or the Gothic Cult. If you're a gamer mosher, who's the next to bring the funny? Could it be you? Could it be you? I like those sci-fi songs, like Jeff and Maya Barnum. How about Tom Smith, who built his love and heart on? Who's the next to bring the funny? Could it be you? Could it be you? Get out that text file, write your thoughts, even if you have to stay up all fracking night to get that muse off your chest. No song is too lame, no song is too underproduced. What counts is that people get creative. Get that song out there on Trump Sideshow, SoundClick, Reverb Nation, House, email it out to your friends. Then, when you've got your name out there, head out to Minnesota in March, because the biggest damn party in all of dementia is there, in the form of the music trap at MarsCon. And we'll have Blasted Bill, Deep Manager Radio Host, all powerful Nate Boy. His rants are going postal. Who's there when we start the party? Could it be you? Could it be you? And here comes Party Rock. He's eating racks of cheese, and there are tunes and drinks from me and Sarah Ski. Who's there when we start the party? Could it be you? Could it be you?
And now it's time for
News of the Stupid!
Created by Devo Spice, visit DevoSpice.com. Compiled by roving reporter Carrie Whitney and submitted by fans like you.
Word.
I guess it's stupid to prove an innocent, cause it makes it so to me.
Hiring a hitman can cost a pretty penny these days. Why buy an ad in the classified section when you can simply use Facebook? Of course, you may end up having to face 11 to 22 years in prison, but that's worth the risk, right? That's what happened to 19-year-old Corey C. Adams of Pennsylvania. Last June, Adams' 20-year-old victim said after she left the party, he jumped into her car and raped her. She went to the police. He went to Facebook. Specifically, his status update read, "I got 500 on a girl's head. Who wants that bread? Hit me up any way possible." The Philadelphia Inquirer reports, the victim told police that she left a party June 29th on South High Street in Westchester after consuming three drinks and feeling nauseous. She said Adams jumped into her car and later raped her. The woman called Westchester police July 1st and said she had accused Adams of raping her. She also told police she saw a posting on his Facebook page offering $500 for, quote, a girl's head, and feared for her safety. At the preliminary hearing, Westchester Police Detective Stan Billy testified that when he went to Adams' house and that Adams agreed to meet with him at the police station. Less than 10 minutes later, Adams posted a second Facebook message that said he, quote, needed this girl knocked off right now, unquote, Billy testified. Billy later confronted Adams about the Facebook entry, and Adams gave differing explanations before admitting that he was upset about the rape accusation. Adams' attorney said that his client significantly limited the defenses that were available to him by his public Facebook postings. The only smart thing Adams did was sign a plea agreement last week for both the rape and solicitation to commit murder charges. If he hadn't pleaded guilty, he could have faced 35 to 70 years in jail. What an idiot! Doesn't he know that's what Craigslist is for?
A robber has been jailed after CCTV images showed he was the man who bought a scary Halloween mask from a garage he raided days later. Neil Simons, 27, was the only person to buy the £3.99 mask from the co-op petrol station in Landoff, Cardiff. Cardiff Crown Court heard Simons returned at night 3 days later with an axe and threatened a woman cashier. Simons, from Fairwater, Cardiff, admitted robbery and was jailed for 5 years. John Probert, prosecuting, said the cashier thought it was a colleague playing a practical joke until she saw the axe. She was frightened and she pleaded with Simons not to use the weapon. He said he wouldn't as long as she did what he said, and she handed over between £40 and £50. This CCTV footage was released by police last November after the robbery. The court heard Simons was caught when police looked at CCTV recordings, which showed he was the only person to have bought the mask at the site, which he robbed in November last year. Kieran Malloy, defending, said the fact he bought the mask then returned to the same petrol station wearing it shows it wasn't a sophisticated crime. The court heard that the defendant, a redundant asbestos remover, wanted to pay off drug debts.
Okay. A woman who tried to mail a puppy in a box from Minnesota to Georgia now wants the puppy back, along with the $22 she paid to ship the dog. When Stacy Champion, great name there, first brought the box to the post office, she warned postal workers to be careful, but reassured them that what she was shipping was a toy robot. But when the box began to move and make noise, workers got permission to open it and found a four-month-old puppy inside named Guess, a black poodle schnauzer mix. The postal workers gave the thirsty pup some water, and now he's at an animal control facility. Prior to notifying authorities that she wanted the dog back, Champion returned to the post office demanding a refund for the $22 she paid to mail the puppy, in addition to requesting that a small amount of money attached to a makeshift dog collar be returned. Postal worker nixed the refund and told her to contact law enforcement about the collar currency. We asked her, "Don't you want to know about your puppy?" But she said no. She just wanted her money back, Post Office Supervisor Thompson Ojoyeye said. Stacy Champion, meanwhile, has been charged with animal cruelty. She recently attended a hearing to request getting the dog back, but the request was denied. A hearing officer is seen telling her in the CNN report, quote, "You cannot tell me that you thought you were doing the right thing," unquote. But Champion claims that she did, in fact, think that what she was doing was not only right, but a nice gesture. Champion explains that she intended to send the puppy to her son on his birthday because she, quote, "wanted to surprise him really, really good," unquote. She poked holes in the box, which later were covered up by tape, and argues they don't have a display of what should be shipped and what should not be shipped. According to the Star Tribune, Champion wrote on the outside of the package, "This is for your 11th birthday. It's what you wanted." However, it seems unlikely that a child would want a dead puppy for his birthday, which would likely have been Guess's fate had the postal workers not intercepted the package. Okay, everybody, sing along.
Dead puppies aren't much fun.
Two suspected burglars on the run from police in Colombia have been detained while trying to hide inside a jail. The two were being chased by police after a burglary in a house in the capital, Bogota. They jumped from rooftop to rooftop and over walls, only to land inside La Picota, one of Colombia's biggest jails. Their involuntary break-in immediately set off the prison alarm, leading to their capture. They have been handed over to the judicial authorities, who will determine whether to press charges. If their case goes to court and they are found guilty, they could be sent back to La Picota.
Oh, wait, this just in. Breaking news. Here, Carrie, why don't you read this
one? All right. And finally, several victims in Bloomington, Minnesota were brutally murdered after mercilessly taunting the man who eventually murdered them. Ian Bonds of Baltimore, Maryland, was attending a conference in Bloomington this past weekend, but to his surprise, he was repeatedly taunted with multiple people saying, quote, "Shut up, Ian," unquote. Witnesses say that anytime Bonds attempted to speak, the taunters would attempt to silence him with the aforementioned remark. Described by his neighbors as a mild-mannered man who wouldn't hurt a fly, the tauntings apparently built up an insanity in Bonds, causing him to murder 8 victims by brutally beating them with a pocket full of quarters. The witnesses, though traumatized, still saw irony in the situation as Bonds was restrained with a straitjacket, which included a ball and gag, shutting up Bonds for a long time to come. People are stupid, and once again, they have proven it.
Shut up, Ian!
This has been News of the Stupid.
And now, Mitch Penn.
When you're the head of state, things can be pretty tough. Political intrigue can leave you feeling rough. Opponents and protesters giving you the blues. And there's a pesky election coming that you think you just might lose. Well, why not call the state of emergency? Go on TV with great sense of urgency. Say it's all a counterinsurgency. Then you can be president forever. Just call that clampdown, buddy. It never fails. Life's much more peaceful when your critics are in jail. Tell all the people that their only hope is you. And if they don't believe ya, what they gonna do? Cause, hey, this is a state of emergency. Send the troops in and govern by decree. Shoot protesters and close down the TV. Now you can be president forever. Wow, it's great, this state of emergency, all to keep an ordered society. Times are hard to heart for democracy. Now you can be president forever.
And that's the first time I ever wrote a story for that. And all of the other stories were not written.
All those other stories were submitted by Kyle Hudson. Thank you for sending those in.
Yeah, can we make you our roving reporter, Kyle, please?
Please. We got another one from Elizabeth Carnes, but I didn't have time to do anything with it, so I'll probably save it for next week. So,
something yes, like that. Thanks,
please,
Elizabeth.
Please thank you for sending... yes, I'm about to say words, and they mean something.
What's Luke plugging now?
Oh, yeah.
What's at the fump? What's at that fump?
Hey!
At the fump right now, you can download for free Snoopy the Dog by the great Luke Ski, Cook Up a Little Bit of Love by Flat29, Hula Hoop by Nuclear Bubble Wrap, Enhanced by Devo Spice, Scrollin' by Possible Oscar, Jabba Jive by me, Carrie Dalby, Merchandise Table by Raymond and Scum, and Perfect Girl by Dino Mike.
Available by the time this thing posts at LukeSki.com will be the new 2-CD set, Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport, Best of 2010.
Yay!
And we world premiered that at MarsCon, didn't we?
We sure did, too.
And let's go to the big Jerry Lewis telethon board and have the numbers roll over. How many copies of it did we sell there?
We sold 4 copies.
4! And one of them was...
to my dad.
Yay! I'm so glad we have such a loyal fan base at MarsCon that loves us and buys the merchandise. I only spent 66 hours listening to episodes 1 through 31 and editing sound files for weeks upon end. I'm 2 months behind on the Mishki Broadcast podcast. Just so that 4 people... 4! 4! I could chop off my thumb and still have enough digits on my hand to count the number of people at MarsCon who bought this two CD thing that I spent so much time working out.
I still haven't even listened to it.
Why don't you love me? I do a con thing and you...
Please,
anyway.
Please buy it. Bill said he would buy it once it went digital, and so did Dan. So we're counting on you, Bill and Dan.
Justify our existence, Bill and Dan. So I'm going to have the price for it be like my regular one CD albums, which would be $15 if you buy it from me at a convention, or it would be less than that if you buy it as part of a package dealy. However, at the website, it will be $14.99 plus shipping for the CD version, or $9.99 for the downloadable MP3 version. So go to lukeski.com and go to the merchandise page there, and you will find it. So, yeah.
Thank God Gen Con exists, or you'd never get rid of those things.
Yep.
I hope they buy them at Gen Con.
Yep. I'm sure they will. Well, it's actually kind of more like we have our hardcore 50 or so listeners, and the majority of them go to MarsCon, so...
And also, the majority of them probably felt like, well, I've already heard all this.
Yes, exactly. So I really think this thing will sell better at the other cons that don't have the super hardcore Lukeski fan base, so
yeah.
I think it'll do all right at Mid-South and other things coming up in the future. So, anyway... artbylukeski.com. You can hire me for parties and stuff, but I've said that a billion times. I haven't, so I'll shut up now.
No, nobody from listening to the podcast ever did.
I don't think so. Anyway, the Dr. Demento show. Listen to it and make requests for it. You can request songs like Jabba Jive,
yay,
and songs by Flat 29.
You can request Snoopy the Dog by the great Luke Ski.
OMG. I totally hope Dr. D plays the hell out of that song. It seems to be getting a majorly positive reaction so far from people. So I hope Dr. D likes it and becomes a hit this year. So yeah. Tour dates. Mid-South Con 29 in Memphis, Tennessee at the Hilton Memphis Hotel, March 25th through 27th, 2011. I will be their Toastmaster. So I'll be doing performances there. Rob Balder will also be there, and possibly other performers. I need to look into that. So check that out. What shade of pink are you wearing today, Carrie?
I'm wearing a light pink, and it's got the Mardi Gras face lady, New Orleans birthplace of jazz, because it's Fat Tuesday, damn it.
Cool. All right, caricature stories, ignorance stories, etc.
You trying to pick which ones to do?
No, I'm trying to remember what these stories are because my brain is so fried. So this girl who's, I don't know, maybe 10, 11 or whatever, sits down like her family. They're getting the bodies and backgrounds one, and she's starts, you know, what do you want for your body and background? Well, I don't know if you can do this. And I'm thinking, okay, she's about to explain something very difficult to me. I like cheerleading. It's like, oh, God damn it! It's the easiest thing in the world.
Like, you weren't going to understand what that was?
Yeah, or something, I don't know. Yeah, anyway. One parent asked me when it came to drawing their children, literally, and I quote, "Do you need to be looking at him?" No, I'm just... Oh, God. Insert witty retort here. I mean, that's such a... That just goes beyond my ability to come up with something witty because it's just dumb. So, another body and background situation. This girl, I don't know, I think she was like late teens, and her mom and like her younger, more excitable brother is there. And she wants to be drawn with a body and background and stuff. And I'm trying to ascertain from them what kind of stuff they like so that I can figure out what body to draw for her. And like one of them, the mom says like, well, she likes Superman, and then the boy's like, she likes giraffes! So I start thinking, like, okay, well, I could draw her as, like, Clark Kent, like, coming out of a booth, the mm-hmm. phone booth, like she's pulling back her tie and, you know, her shirt, and she has the S logo underneath, like, I'm about to become Superman or Supergirl or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I start working on that. As I'm working on that, at least like five times, the boy's like, you need to put a giraffe in there! Just, and he wouldn't shut up. So I finally got to the point where I was done with her body, so I kind of drew, like, a background, like a brick wall, and, like, a sign that said, like, you know, Metropolis Zoo with an arrow, and, you know, a giraffe head coming in from the side, and, like, a word balloon coming, like, oh, no, Lex Luthor is attacking the giraffes or something, you know, so that it made sense. But it was just, you know, Superman and giraffes, go. Then some other mom is, I'm drawing her kid, and she's like, and I'm once again, it's like I'm trying to get an idea of where they're trying to go with something. It's like, well, he likes music. How about, can you have music and, like, dragons and, like, fire? It's like some mom, and I'm thinking, like, so what, like a Tenacious D kind of thing? Like, is it, and, you know, trying to get her to narrow it down, like heavy metal, is this the whole thing? Like, just dragons and fire and something with music and blah, blah, blah. So I think I drew him, like, I don't know, playing guitar, and I kind of put him in a, you know, mountain landscape, and I started putting a dragon back there, and then, like, later on, she's like, have a big explosion, like a big nuclear, but I'm like, do you need Ritalin? What the hell? So, yeah, there was that.
This is the mom?
Yeah, that was the mom telling me what to do for the kid. So, last one, I did a caricature of seven girls on one page at a birthday party at Ed's. And, of course, I always have my little things out, my, you know, advertisements for me, hire me for parties, my business card with my cell phone number or whatever. So they're all there, and they all took this stuff and they left. And they were very happy with their drawing of the seven of them.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, 3 or 4 hours later, my cell phone rings, and I'm in the middle of trying to finish up some business with somebody, and I'm like, hello, and... You know, I couldn't quite hear right at first, and then I finished up the business, and then I got back on the phone. I'm like, hello? She's like, hi. Do you remember drawing seven girls earlier today? And I'm like, yes. And then I hear just a bunch of, like, high-pitched girls, like, laughing, like, and I'm like, okay, well, thanks for calling me. I gotta go now.
God, that's so
and hang
retarded.
Up the phone, and I'm, like, thinking, okay, this is the beginning of some kind of, you know... Like, you know, freaking Cape Fear style story where, like, you know, suddenly I'm going to be, like, accused of molesting seven children. It all started with them calling me at this one phone call. And then they all start showing up at my house, you know. And I'm like, just leave me alone. You know, and some policeman comes up and takes me away to a station because I'm a pervert or something.
You probably did imagine that, too.
It's like, this is where it starts. It starts with this phone call.
That's what you just said.
Yeah.
Were you gonna bring a thing up of this list?
No, this show is too fucking long as it is. Okay.
And this is Luke saying that, people.
Well, I just remembered last year our MarsCon report was 43 minutes long, and all the whole time I've been thinking to myself, okay, we really gotta keep this as a fast clip so that, you know, the show doesn't get too long, because I know that's what
and
Carrie
this is
likes.
Way longer than 43 minutes.
Yes. So if you're unhappy, blame Carrie.
Comments.
Go on a piece of paper that are right here.
Bar One Scorpio says, looking at the protest signs from the Madison, Wisconsin thing, which I haven't seen yet. Looking at the protest signs, is it just me? Or have hipster college douches killed protesting in America? Now it's all about who can come up with the cutest pun so they can get their picture online. The problem I've always had with unions is they work just as hard to protect the bad employees as they do the good. Of course, right now my day job is in a union, and even the head of our local has lamented this, so I'm not the only one who's frustrated with some of my coworkers. And those bad apples really tend to affect contract talks. I've never been in a union, so I have no comment.
Well, I see your point, but I still think it's unfair that the good workers have to suffer, you know, the equal amount just because there are bad workers who are... bad. Computer King says, love that Peter Griffin impression, and I love 321 Contact as a kid, too.
I just heard Computer King's song on the Fump Sideshow today. He did a Eminem parody.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Slightly D says, Carrie, with that opening, I'd accuse you of providing way too much information. However, I'm a modern father, and nothing frightens me about the female reproduction system anymore. Nothing. Luke, regarding the Bloodhound Gang and 321 Contact, I made the association right away as well, but I don't think my wife or most of her friends did back in 1999-2000. However, I still want to know if Zancora smokes cigars.
I don't know what that means.
Neither do I. Some of those anti-Walker signs were almost as good as the ones they had at the anti-Westboro Baptist Church protest at Comic-Con. People often don't learn to appreciate a union until they really need one. Solidarity!
Did you see any of those signs?
No.
Westboro Baptist Church showed up people to protest San Diego Comic-Con. They probably win the trophy for the best protest. They had a guy dressed as Bender with a sign that said, kill all humans. Kind of stuff like that. You can search that out on Google and stuff.
And all with right. that...
If you want to make a comment, you can do so at badreport.com, BADRAPPORT.com.
Leave
messages. Nobody's done that in a while.
916-585-3754. Also 916-LukeSki.
And iTunes reviews. We haven't had one recently, so you can do that as well. Or leave us a star rating, hopefully 5. We're going to leave this show with a new song that Power Salad cranked out over the weekend. Since they weren't at MarsCon, they came up with a new song that's very topical. And we'll leave it at that.
Very, very topical.
So, anything else, Carrie?
Kyle.
Okay.
Hey. Space Cow Vibrator.
Space Cow Vibrator opened up for Scooter Picnic.
Oh, okay.
They're an Art Paul Schlosser cover band.
Oh, okay, of course.
All right. So this is Luke.
This is Carrie.
And this has been Luke and Carrie's
Bad Rapport.
Bye.
Bye.
There once was a star of a sitcom who increasingly acted insane. Perhaps it was due to his ego or a suitcase jam-packed with Coach Charlie Sheen. Sober and clean, fine human being, our friend Charlie Sheen. He partied with beautiful women. Indeed, they were certainly lookers. As to what these girls did for a living, they were probably porn stars or Charlie Sheen. Sober and clean, fine human being, that man Charlie Sheen. No matter how bad were his actions, the network would give him a pass. But then he badmouthed his producer, and now they may fire his Charlie Sheen. Sober and clean, fine human being, our friend Charlie Sheen. He wanted a raise from the network, even though he was already rich. And now when we see him on talk shows, we say, look, it's that son of a Martin Sheen, head of the Sheens, father of he who we call Charlie Sheen. The psycho behavior of Charlie, no longer considered a quirk. It's time that he gets some assistance, so we won't have to bury that Charlie Sheen. Sober and clean, fine human being, that man Charlie Sheen. And now, folks, the gossip is ended. If you want more, you're out of luck. If you think he's being rear-ended, you can go take a big flying Charlie Sheen. Sober and clean, fine human being, our friend Charlie Sheen.
You're listening to Luke and Carrie's Bad Rapport.
So the next song requires lyrics.
They all songs require lyrics.
Shut up, Ian!
Leave comments for this episode at badrapport.com or call 916-LUKE-SKI.